of internetradio.com seeking solutions.
You all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of ShakeAndWakeRadio.com and also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. We are, of course, folks, viewer-supported stations, so if you like what we're trying to do here and some of the content we're bringing forward, please, if you can throw a couple bucks into the kitty, I know the operators of the stations would appreciate any kind of help that you can possibly muster. Originally, I had Kellyanne Wolf coming in here today, and I don't know what happened to Kelly here because I've talked to her three times this week, and she was all lined up for the show here today, and I'm not able to get her on the phone, so on short notice, I gave my friend Kevin Johnson a call, and Kevin's been as gracious to come in and fill in for the hour on very short notice. I haven't had a chance to talk to Kevin now for a couple months, mostly because of the fact that I was out in the bush hiding and picking mushrooms, but I know he's gone through quite a bit of crap here in the last couple months, to say the least. How you doing, Kevin, and welcome back to The Big Puzzle, and thanks for coming in on short notice, my friend.
It's my absolute pleasure. Here I am downtown Banff having myself a great time. Kellyanne Wolf is not able to be here today because she's currently in orbit with Richard Branson. I thought you knew that.
No. She actually, I talked to her a couple times this week. Three times, I believe I talked to her this week, Kevin. And she had the date and time lined up for Sunday here. And she's not here. So it's all good. You're a great guy. And I'm looking forward to talking to you. So thanks.
Well, wonderful thing to hear. It's absolutely wonderful to hear someone call me adequate. That's fantastic. Hey, Barry, how are you, man? It's good to hear from you.
Say, you're clipping. You're blasting the radio.
More than adequate, okay? How's that?
That'll do just fine. So I will apologize to you in advance here only because we are walking around downtown Banff. We sporadically get between one and three bars. This is not the best place for Bell cell phones.
Well, we'll bear with it.
Beautiful. Well, Barry, I think you posted on what's going on here. I think everybody knows that they locked me up in maximum security prison for 7 weeks because I was polling number one in the Calgary mayor race, and they're still trying now. There are two different really obnoxious lawyers trying to get me locked up for anywhere between 10 and 90 days again. So we have to file all the appropriate legal paperwork to get that to not happen. This country, even by the admission of a lot of the guards that I was talking to inside of the prison, all say the same thing: that Canada's gone to pure fascism. They're not even talking communism. Yeah, I kept asking the guards, saying, "Yeah, you guys know that it's fascism, but why are you involved? Why are you part of the process?" And you know, the most common answer was because the pensions are good. But you stop and you think, but just really stop and think about that kind of a job. You decide to sign up to be a prison guard, which means you willfully go to jail every day and deal with prisoners every day. And you are pretty much forced to force other people to do things that you may not necessarily agree with nor want them to do. So you get this pension at the end of God knows how many years that you do this. But when you are a prison guard, that stuff affects you. And I doubt very much by the time these guys are at retirement age that they have friends, colleagues, and families to actually spend their retirement dollars on. So what's the point of having a great pension if you've chased everybody in your personal life away? I can't imagine doing that for a job. I think I would probably last 3 or 4 hours before I'd walk out the door.
Yeah, well, they get into it at a very young age, and that's it. They're just playing it out for their pension. It's just like a police officer, the same thing. How do these guys go home at night and look themselves in the mirror? I don't know, Kevin.
Well, we don't, and you and I are good people, so we're never going to understand that. I do my best to understand every side of the argument and all sides of the coin, but I can't relate to the psychopathic mind. I cannot relate to the sociopathic mind. And I cannot relate to the mean-spirited mind that wants to harm people that have never done them any harm. There is something wrong with a human being that will do that.
Well, you mean like our health officials in Canada?
Essentially.
Every one of them officials, across the board.
All the premiers, the lawyers that work for them, the cops that enforce these draconian and illegal laws. I mean, there's all kinds of problems that we have and all kinds of really bad people that are all part of the complete and total destruction of what was once the greatest country in our species history. It's no longer, it's not even close. And it won't be again for a very long time.
It's going to take many, many, if we can turn this around, Kevin, it's going to take many years to correct the damage it's already done. We know that.
Say, Kevin.
But, I'm not throwing in the hat. That's for sure.
I'm not throwing in the hat, but it's going to be, if it's going to survive, it's going to survive in pieces. The landmass is far too big, and there's far too much incompetence in a landmass this big to keep it together. So, I think we know that Alberta will be the first to split. Quebec's never going to go because they get too much free stuff from the rest of the country. But Alberta will because Alberta's tired of giving free stuff out.
Yeah, I think you're correct there. I think Alberta will be the first one to separate from Canada, and you can see what's going on in Alberta right now, Kevin. How much disdain Albertans have for the government. How long exactly were you in jail, Kevin? Because I was in the bush 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
And that was on what basis were they holding you for 7 weeks?
Create a disturbance, which upon a conviction would be a $500 fine.
And that's what they held you for 7 weeks in jail on.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is absolutely correct. Yes, listen, their goal, as they even told my lawyer, their goal was to keep me in there until Christmas time. That's exactly what it was.
They don't want your face in this election. When is the election in Calgary?
October the 18th. October 18th. So
you're 2 months, October, little over 2 months away. Yeah, a little bit over
70 days. I think it's down to 70 days. Not many.
Cool. Well, yes. I know the whole country is pulling for you right now, Kevin.
Every single thinking human being in this country is pulling for me. Every single thinking human being in this country knows that I've got far too big a mouth to put up with any garbage in there. And I'm pretty sure what'll end up happening is most of the far left crazies in Calgary will just up and leave. And that's good, because the left doesn't do anything. Anybody who thinks as a far leftist doesn't do anything for society that helps mankind in any way. They're in it for themselves, whether they say they're in it for all races and so on. They're in it for whatever free stuff they can grab.
Well, if you want free stuff, Kevin, yeah. 70 days, I guarantee you they're looking for a way to lock you up again.
So, oh, yeah, of course they are.
Of course they are. So maybe try not to give them a reason, because we really need you out there right now. If you get locked up, you lose the election. And we just can't have that. We can't have that right now.
Well, we're certainly going to give them no reason whatsoever. They'll do their best to find one. I read the disclosure that the Calgary police had put forward. They spent weeks. In fact, they spent the better part of 6.5 weeks straight, full time, looking for some way to charge me. That is how little I do that would ever be considered illegal or immoral. They couldn't find anything. In fact, they even had the police lawyers telling them that no way, shape, or form could they charge me with anything. They couldn't get me on intimidation. They couldn't get me on hate speech. They talked to CSIS and the Cyber Crimes Division, and so they came back saying, no, he's a big mouth. We don't like what he says, but it's not illegal. The Calgary police had to actually go to a mall and coerce a bunch of 20-year-old girls to register a complaint for a creative disturbance. And that's what the police did. So obviously I'm filing major lawsuits against Calgary police for this. It's election interference. It's malicious prosecution. It's kidnapping. It's assault. It's all kinds of crazy things that they've done. And I'm not going to let this go. Win or lose, I'm not going to let this go. Now, and I know what will end up happening there. Like, I'm pretty sure that the quote unquote detectives that were detecting what I was doing, and all they were doing was just pressuring young girls to lie about me. I'm pretty sure they'll just up and quit because they need to go under review. They broke the law. They broke the law is what they did. Yeah, when you hunt, when you go out of your way, when you spend six straight weeks full time asking every single lawyer and police division across the country, how can we charge this guy? That's called malicious prosecution. That's actually a crime.
Wow. Yeah. I hope that you can prove all this in a court of law, Kevin, because they really need to get called out. They need to get called out.
All I have to do.
They really do.
They do. But all I've got to do is just show you the disclosure. That's all I have to do. And when they hand you disclosure, it becomes my property. And I'm going to release it to the public at exactly the right time that I feel the public needs to see it. Because there's going to be a bunch of things the public needs to understand. And the public needs to understand that it is that easy for our government to lock you up for nothing. That's how far they will go if they don't like what you say.
Well, you know, Kevin, if they put you in jail for 7 weeks for what you did, which is very minor offense.
Which is nothing.
Which is nothing, really. Yeah. So what, you know, what's to stop them from coming after just about anybody right now that's talking against them for just about any reason at all? I mean, they could go into my past right now and say, hey, you haven't done income taxes for 10 years. Okay, you're in jail. I mean, is that what's going to come down the tubes here in the next little while? I think so. How would he stop this, man?
Yes.
Because it's really getting out of hand, Kevin.
How do you stop it? Is every single one of you out there needs to stop paying your income tax, all of you. Stop giving them the money they need to do this to you. Shut the country down. I mean, all of you out there, I get it. Your lives are yours, and most of you are pretty much all inwardly focused. Nobody looks at anything as a greater good. If you have a better society where these types of laws are illegal and the people who try to implement them go to jail, then your society will be better. But that takes an entire society of people who care enough about their own futures to do so.
We don't seem to see that in Canada yet, Kevin, and it's kind of sad. Canadians seem to be very apathetic. I call them gutless people because they are. What's going on in our country right now? Well, Kevin, what's going on in our country right now? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see it. All you have to do is go look. And yet Canadians seem to be more worried about the Montreal Canadiens winning the Stanley Cup. You know? That was or what's going on in the Olympics. You know, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah,
we got a medal. We got a medal. So what? What are we going
to
do with that?
Here's the best part about the Olympics. Well, we're not going to do a thing, but I'm glad to say that the Olympics are dying off. No one cares about the Olympics anymore, and nor should they.
I didn't watch a minute of it. Not 1 minute, my friend. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, not wow. I used to. Whenever ABC's Wide World of Sports was the big show, that's when I would watch it. But now it's all political. Now it's a whole bunch of lefties crying about whatever they want. And whatever they want is, yeah, it's somebody else's political views. That's the worst part of it, is that you get all these athletes, and I use that term extremely loosely, all these athletes getting out there and whining about how bad their lives are when they come from G20 countries. So I haven't watched any of it, and I couldn't care less who's winning. I don't care how many medals have been awarded, and I don't care that whatever city is hosting the Olympics will go bankrupt in a couple of years because of all the expenses they put forward. I just don't care anymore. And I'm also finding it very difficult to care about the NHL. They've had 3 player strikes in my adult life, baseball 2 in my adult life. I've given up on pro athletes. You know, I understand that pro sports are part of our culture, but even that is poison. Even that is poison.
It used to be a game, Kevin, when pro sports, even back in the 30s and 40s, before big money got involved, it was still a game and it was great. But of course it changed and now it's just a big business. And I haven't watched a professional sports game now for about 7 years of my life. No hockey, no football, none of that. Because all they are is overpaid, very, very overpaid, spoiled boys playing a game that I played because I love the game, not for millions and millions of dollars. So, I haven't watched.
You and I have to pay to play the game. They get paid to play, and they're not happy.
Yeah? Flown around on jets and fed the best meals possibly and just catered to. And, of course, they're in a standard much, much higher than anybody else in society. They don't have to deal with what people like you and me have to deal with on a regular basis. So I don't give any of my time to pro sports anymore. But enough of that. But let's talk about COVID for a few minutes, Kevin.
Well, certainly one, Barry, unfortunately, yeah, first off, Barry, I want to say this. I'm down to about 4 minutes here. But what I will say is this. With the mandates, I want you all in Canada to understand that even though Alberta has released us from medical tyranny because of the pressure that I put on Jason Kenney, and I put a lot on Jason Kenney, doesn't change the fact that he's not going to reverse what he's doing. I fully suspect that lockdowns are coming back about 2 weeks before the municipal elections take place. In fact, here's my prediction, everybody, that Trudeau is going to call an election 2 weeks, maybe even a week before the municipals, so that nobody cares about them, and brings back the masking mandates and the medical tyranny, all the lockdowns, so that everybody is not paying attention to what's really going on. Expect it. It's up to you, Canada, to not cooperate with it this time. I'm telling you, like, I'm downtown Banff right now, and I can see that everybody's walking around having themselves a great time with their masks off. People are actually happy. It's incredible. All this happiness is going away, Canada. They're going to keep doing it to you. This is not a Republican state. This is not a Donald Trump, a Donald Trump fan base. We are, unfortunately, a bunch of passive individuals that will let everybody walk all over us. When someone breaks into our house, Canada, what do? You help them carry the TV to their car, whereas Americans just shoot them in the head. We have got to become a tougher and stronger people, less prone to taking this kind of nonsense from anyone, especially our government. And let me tell you about our government. I have met many politicians and many police officers in this country, and they're all extremely weak people. Do not allow weak people to have any control over you. Get them the hell out of office, ignore everything they say, and fight for your rights before it is too late. And believe me when I say this, people, if this lockdown comes back, which it will, it is too late. Get ready for it.
Yeah, new variants will be coming out. Every month there'll be a new variant coming out, Kevin. And, of course, they're going to have to come up with a new vaccine to treat the new variant. And this is never, ever going to go away until people stand up. I don't know if Canadians will, Kevin. I don't know if they will until it really, really is in their face. And by then it might be too late. Do you have to leave us right now, or are you going to be able to hang around for a little bit?
No, I do have to go, only because I have another meeting. I'm in Banff actually talking to another individual. So I have to go. But, Barry, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak to your crowd. Again, everyone, my name is Kevin J. Johnston. I call myself Calgary Mayor-elect because it drives the left wing absolutely mental. So they call me delusional. It's all kinds of free advertising they give me on Twitter and all the other left-wing platforms. You can always hit me online, folks, at kevinjjohnston.ca. And never forget that Barry's got your back. Always listen to this man's show. He knows what he's talking about.
Thanks, Kevin. Are Derek and Ed going to have to go with you, or they want to hang around for a little bit and chat?
That I am going to leave that to Derek. I'll hand you over to him, and he can tell you what's going on.
Okay, fair enough.
What's that?
He's asking if you can talk.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, if you guys all have to go right now, Derek, I know I got you on short notice, but do you all have to go right now, or you want to hang around for a little bit and chat about what's been going on? You and Ed are there, or do you guys have to go?
Well, I'm not sure where Ed went to, but I'm sure I can find him. He's not hard to miss, you know? I don't mind talking for a little bit.
Well, I've watched you here in the last 4 or 5 months, Derek, and you've become quite a help to Kevin and what he's doing. It's good to see you get behind the man and help him out.
Well, yeah, he needs everything that he can get, you know, and I've seen what he's been going through for the past 5 years. I call that racism against a white man right there.
Well, he is a persecuted person. We all are persecuted as white people now. We're discriminated against in this country, but we know that. But we can't say that, because if we say that, we'll get censored and knocked off the internet. But we're speaking the truth when we say that we're discriminated against as white people. We are.
Oh, 100%. Yes. You know, like, even though I'm part red, like, I'm still called the same names he gets called. You know, like, but I can speak a little bit more on it, and nobody will say much. You know, it's like the same with my wasted native coffee. They went nuts because Kevin launched it. That when I took it back, no one said boo.
You guys are still selling coffee, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Both Kevin has his line, and I have my own line. Both on my line's on my website, and his is on his website. But we're about to do a. Okay. We're about to do a.
Mike Kennedy bought some, and he said, "I actually had a cup of your coffee, and it's pretty good coffee." So there you go.
Yeah,
I'll endorse
that's
it.
That's good, man. I love that coffee. It's all I drink now.
Well, I don't have any right now, but I did get to try it. So I'll have to get you guys to send me a bag here pretty quick.
We would definitely even send you a sample pack or something.
So, Dad, with you there?
I'm looking for him right now.
I don't see Ed.
No, I don't see Ed either.
I don't know.
Did he?
I guess he's not close by.
He didn't fly his little airplane out west, did he?
Okay. No, he didn't. He came up and helped someone move, and he stopped by and had a visit. He came up. When was it? Last
4 or 5 days ago.
4 or 5 days ago, he's been up here and he's been enjoying it.
No,
still in Toronto.
Sounds like you got a whole crowd there right now, Derek.
Oh, it's packed. There's so many people here right now, like because Alberta's open, right?
Yeah. Well, I got it.
There's no mask mandates right now, but it's coming back, like Kevin said, you know?
All they're doing right now is giving people a little teaser. That's all they're doing, Derek.
Yeah. Oh,
to make people give them the illusion that they're still free, you know?
But, I know. It's just like waving the carrot in front of a horse to make it walk, you know?
Well, I agree with Kevin. I believe that they'll bring these things back even harder in the next 30 to 60 days. That we'll be in total lockdown. Look what's going on in Australia right now, Derek. I mean, what you see going on there is going to come across the ocean. It's just a matter of time. And they're in a full police state right now. Full police state.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we're going to find out where Ed is there, because it'd be interesting to hear his part since he's been here in Alberta, right?
Well, this is Ed's first time in Alberta, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'd like to talk with the man for a minute if he's around. Like I said, this was on the fly.
Oh, it was on the fly. There he is. Here he is.
So,
Barry, you're on the show.
Barry, how's it going?
Good, Ed. How are you doing? I was asking Derek, the first thing I asked Derek is if you flew your little airplane across the country, but I heard that you didn't. But I kind of figured you would.
No.
Well, you had your airplane here. That's what Derek was saying.
Yeah, some pretty impressive mountains here. I don't know who did these Rocky Mountains, but pretty steep in a lot of places.
So, Ed, is this your first time out west?
Yes, this is the first time I've been west of Thunder Bay.
In your life?
Yep.
He's moving here?
Wow, so this is the first time you've seen the Rocky Mountains?
I've flown over them on the way to Hawaii a few times, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, now you know why we live in British Columbia and Alberta, Ed.
I don't know, Barry. I see a lot of leveling that has to be done to make this area more hospitable to humanity. There's a lot of mountains to knock down, a lot of blasting to be done.
No, it would make for really easy construction of a wall, Ed. You know, eventually, we're going to have to build a wall between Alberta and the rest of Canada. So.
Well, there's enough material here to do it, that's for sure.
Well, the mountains would make a real natural barrier. All you have to do is a little bit of modification here and there, and you've got it covered, buddy. But where you guys are right now in Banff, Lake Louise, if you guys get a chance, drive out to Lake Louise. And if you get a chance, drive up to the Columbia Ice Field. We'll have a look at those. That's not far. You know what, that's not far from Banff.
Actually, next time I come out here, I actually do want to fly out here. It looks like to do some pretty scenic flying in here. And these are different mountains. I've flown in the European Alps, and a lot more room here to fly around.
Too bad you don't have time right now, Ed, because if you had time to drive from Banff to Jasper, that's about 250-kilometer drive. That is probably one of the most spectacular drives in the whole world. Because you're going right down the center of the biggest mountain range on the West Coast, or one of the biggest mountain ranges. So it's an incredible drive, but next time you're out, you have to drive from Banff to Jasper and see that stretch of road. If you guys had time, you should go do it, but it's an incredible drive. But you're going back to Calgary tonight, I take it?
Yes. So while we got you on the radio, you know what's been bugging me this week when I was driving out?
What's that now?
Had a lot of time to think. What gives elected officials the rights to just disappear our human rights, to make laws on top of make laws to take advantage of us and treat us like slaves? Who gave them the right? We elected them to serve us.
They don't. They don't have any right to do that. They don't. But they are.
And yet we allow this.
People aren't standing up against it, Ed. Everything they're doing is illegal. Everything they're doing is illegal, but Canadians are just rolling over for it. Why? Why can't people look at things with an open mind and say, hey, something's really messed up in Denmark here? But people just go along with whatever the public health officials tell them to do. Why is that? It's a million-dollar question.
Why? Because we have trust in our government elected officials, and we figure, okay, media portrays these people as nice and outstanding people, and like even Trudeau, he's our prime minister. He's the worst type of possible human being you could have. So the guy's got a couple kids. Big deal. Anyone can be a father, really. But he's separated from his wife, apparently. So we've got a few evil, satanic people that are parading as nice people. And, you know, people are busy trying to live, and they figure, no, someone else will do it. They'll take care of it. That time is gone, Barry. Each and every one of us got to stand up and say, enough is enough.
Just say no.
Just say no. I've had enough of this crap. I'm not taking this BS anymore. I'm fed up with the lies. And driving out here out west last week, took a few days. I'm surprised how many people are actually starting to wake up on the prairies. You know, you talk about farmers or normal people. There's some people that still believe the lie, but I was surprised at how many people don't believe the lie and are getting suspicious.
I've seen the same thing. I'm seeing the same thing, Ed. I'm seeing people now really starting to ask questions, but in the same multiple. I'm seeing parts of my society that should be intelligent people should be actually questioning this or still just going along with the narrative. But I do see people start. I am starting to see a change in that in Canada.
You know,
it needs to come real hard right now. It needs to come real hard and real fast. Go ahead.
I was talking to Derek Story a few days ago, and he brought up a very interesting point. We started talking about the people who still haven't tuned into what's going on. He says, yeah, they've been put to sleep with a satanic lullaby. I'll say it again. They've been put to sleep with a satanic lullaby, and mainstream media is pushing this down their throats. And some of them still don't know better. But that's the changing, and I got to keep telling people, keep talking, keep asking questions, do not preach. Ask questions. If you start getting people to think and you ask pointed questions, don't make them wrong. Because everyone wants to do the right thing. Everyone wants to be a good person. Everybody wants to do the right thing. And they're basing all the information on MSN and the garbage and the lies that MSN is propagating. And the only way we can wake them up, the only way we can wake them up out of that lullaby is to ask pointed questions. Tough questions. And be honest. And just ask for help. Say, I'm suspicious about this. This is what I've heard. This is what I've read. This is what's on TV. This is what I've seen on mainstream media. Where do you think the truth actually lies? That's the only chance we got of waking up good people. And don't make people wrong for what they believe, because all their information is based on MSN lies. And they don't know it. That's the kicker.
Yeah, I run into that all the time, Ed, where people now will actually get really, really defensive and almost physically violent if you try and contradict what they actually believe is the truth. Like you said, most of these people go home at night and they turn on CBC or Global or CTV. They drink that diarrhea and they go to bed, and they don't take the time to go look at alternatives. All I say to people is that, as a responsible, my response to people now on a regular basis is that, as a responsible human being, it's your duty to look at both sides of any story, not just take one side of a story as gospel truth. And if people did that, Ed, and they really started to look into some of the information that's available now, I mean, just go to VAERS, go to that site and look at the numbers, go to all the different sites now that are reporting, go to the world, go to the CDC and look at what they just said about the PCR test. And roll that around in your brain. You know, the statements they've made lately are contradict everything that they've been doing to us for the last 18 months.
Amazing. People have to take time to go look at it.
Huh?
Amazing how they're keeping that quiet off of MSN, eh?
Well, yeah, and you don't hear a word. You never hear a word about that statement on CBC or CTV or Global. Yet that's a monumental statement made by the agency that's supposed to be the agency in charge of overseeing everything going on with this so-called pandemic, Ed. But, of course, the media in Canada doesn't give it a moment of coverage. That alone should get people asking some very serious questions.
You know, I've been watching some YouTubers from Australia in the last couple of days. I don't know if you had a chance to talk about what happened with Pat King last week.
I was going to ask you for your opinion on that. I've been watching it. I've been following the story. But I was going to ask for your opinion on that today.
Here's the thing. He did get charged. He did get convicted. He's going to have to pay that fine. But it's on the record that he's subpoenaed Henshaw, and he asked for the white papers to prove that the SARS-CoV-2 virus actually exists. And all he can come up with is, we don't have that information. It does not. We cannot provide it. So that means either they don't have it or it does not exist. Now, if it did exist, they should be able to provide it. And this has made it all the way down to Australia. People all over the world are talking about this. It's on the record. More people are going to have to challenge these tickets, be it an $880 social distancing ticket or not complying with the Ontario Reopening Act. We got to keep taking these things into the courts, and precedent's been set. They don't have it. So if you don't have it, how can you justify these draconian laws? This is the first step, and this is huge. It's finally been cited, and people got to cite this, fight tickets, and go try to do this lawfully while we can, and actually have this thing torn down.
Well, there's quite a lot of controversy going on around that whole situation now. And, you know, Rebel Media did a couple of blurts debunking what Pat King had done, and that there wasn't any real bite to it. That the government didn't have to provide information because it wasn't relevant to the case that Pat was in court for. So what I've done here today is the Rebel Media put up a couple blurts about it, and I went and got in touch with a relative that's a lawyer today, and I'm going to have him look at both sides of this story to break it down so I understand exactly what's going on here. But they did a great big blurt debunking it, so I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it, Ed. I'm really trying to get to the bottom of this, if there's actually a lot of bite to this or if it is what they say it is. I have to sit on the outside and look. I had Pat King supposed to come on today and explain it to me. I wanted to hear from him exactly what's going on. I have Doug Force coming in the next hour, and I'm going to ask him for his opinion on this. But they did do a big debunking on it, and they got quite a few listeners. So I'm just trying to figure out what's going on there myself. I really am.
Okay. Again, from what I understand, he did get charged. He did get convicted, but it did go on the record that they don't have the information.
Okay. Well,
so that's huge.
That is huge. That's a huge statement. That really is.
That's the premise of this entire freaking lockdown. This is why we've had thousands upon thousands of people commit suicide. Divorces. Teen suicides up 92% last year? This is what's destroyed our standard of living. This is what's destroyed our economy. This is why our debt in Canada has doubled. I think last week I came across something saying the SARS-CoV-2 has cost the Canadian government federally, $840 billion? It's around that. Don't quote me. It's around $840 billion, I believe.
Close to $1 trillion, Ed, is what it's cost.
Yeah, in the last year and a half, we've doubled our debt?
Yeah.
For what?
For nothing. So Trudeau can buy votes for the next election. He's got all the people going, hey, look, we got this, these SERP checks coming now. Isn't this great? Don't you love this guy? I mean, these young people, they're getting brainwashed. Yeah? They're getting checks from the government. They can sit in their basement, play Game Boy all day long, talk to their buddies, get a bag of weed, and they think it's like going to be like, this is what we have to vote this guy in for, because look what he's doing for us. I mean, he's really, really an evil, evil man, but he's using everything out of the Communist Manifesto to turn our society upside down right now. People got to read that book, Ed. That's one that everybody's got to read, because it'll really, really make you understand what's going on in our society right now. Go ahead.
Well, it happened in the U.S., in Russia, back in the, 1910, 1922?
It happened in Germany.
Started in 1926, 1927, and it kept going until the 1930s, and Here we are, World War II, which never really ended, if you think about it.
No, the Nazis just came to North America, buddy. They brought them over here. And the same thing is happening here right now. The same agenda is being ruled out on people. Exactly. If you look at Germany in the 30s up to the Second World War and look at Canada today, buddy, they're a carbon copy. Go ahead.
People are waking up to it. So socialists never really went away. They just changed the tactics, changed the names, put on different suits. You know, they infiltrated the government right down to the school boards to change the way we teach our kids, or the way I'm going to say it, I'm going to come right out and say it, it's brainwashing.
What's going on in our schools is a travesty, Ed. You know that.
Yeah.
I know that. But why aren't parents standing up against it? I don't know. What has happened to society?
They're too busy competing with the Joneses and bringing home the bacon and doing parental things, you know, trying to pay off the mortgage. You look at the taxation's gone up. So people got stuff costs more money. You got less money to spend. You got to work harder. You know, this has been well calculated. Kudos to them, to the communists, for doing what they're doing. But I think too many people on the right are starting to wake up. And even in the centrists are starting to wake up, saying, you know what, this ain't going to fly.
Absolutely. So what do you think of the West compared to, you live in Toronto, right, Ed? Right.
Just outside of Toronto, Ontario. Yeah,
but you're in the big metropolis area of Toronto, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. A little bit different out here on the West, man.
Well, I find people aren't afraid to speak to you out here. People will look at you and they'll say hello or they'll give you a nod or something and smile. You don't see that in Toronto.
You don't see that in Toronto. If you say hello to somebody in Toronto, they figure you're either trying to rape them, rob them, you know, one of the two. So it's a different culture. People are still friendly with each other. Absolutely. Especially in small towns.
But it wasn't like that 40 years ago in Toronto. Though. Toronto was just like out here.
Oh, hey, Ed,
I just got through a huge change.
Buddy, I was born and raised in Toronto. You know what? When I was growing up in Toronto, it was one of the greatest places in the world to grow up. We didn't have to worry about anything. My parents would let me run anywhere in Toronto. We used to go down to the exhibition. We'd go to the West End. We'd go to Scarborough. We'd go anywhere in the city, and you wouldn't worry about it. But it's changed now. It's a very, very dangerous place to be.
Anyways, I'm going to give you back to Derek. Derek, you want to get back on Derek?
No, we got to eat. So if you buy a house.
Okay, go order, and then I'll be up. Come back down. Send Kevin back down.
What are we ordering?
Order, send Kevin back down, and then... I'll go up. Anyway, sorry, I'm on the street. We're trying to grab something for lunch. And I don't want to take this phone into the restaurant here.
So is there anybody Sasquatch, there? Though. Okay. You'd make a good Sasquatch, Ed.
Yeah, check out my Facebook page. I think Derek posted it for me. I'm almost tall as him.
Well, yeah. Then
some guy asked me. Another random guy comes up and walks up to me and says, hey, see, you take a picture. Relative? Says, yeah, second cousin. You don't see that in Toronto. You know, good thing about this pandemic, though, I think it's teaching people what's really important. You don't know what you got till it's gone. You don't know what you got till it's gone, right?
Yeah, well, our world will never be the same unless people stop this right now, Ed. And I think people are starting to realize that this is not the new norm. What I think really is making a difference is when they start coming after our children. And that really might be the straw that breaks the camel's back when they start seeing deaths amongst children from taking these vaccines, the fact that they're ramping it up for children, that they're telling us it's the thing to do now, that they might stop children from going back to school unless they've been vaccinated. That is medical tyranny beyond anything I thought I'd see in my lifetime, Ed. I didn't think I'd see it this level this fast in Canada, but it's there. It's here now.
Gary, let me ask you a hypothetical question.
Fire.
What happens to a guy that's like 40 or 50 or 60 years old that's believed the government, the propaganda, all the bullshit, and he finds out he's only got a week or two to live because he's dying because of the jab? And he discovers that he's been lied to heavily. This guy's got nothing left to lose. What's going to happen to this guy if he's a gun owner?
Watch the language, please.
Yeah, we got to watch our language here, if you don't mind, buddy. Anyways, there is going to be people starting to drop dead, I believe, in our society from this vaccine, this so-called vaccine. It's not a vaccine, but you are going to see people starting to die from it. You know, when I first thought about that, Ed, I was going, well, you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's what we need to wake up the rest of society. But in the same mouthful, I wouldn't wish death on anybody. And these people that have gone ahead and taken this so-called jab and this so-called mix of deadly poisons, because that's what it is. If you look at the contents, it's poisons. And they've allowed this to go in their body. They've done it with the best intentions. At this point, I don't want to see anybody die, but I know that this is going to have that effect on people. I believe that's what the plan was right from the beginning, is to get this into people. And we'll start to see people die, and of course they'll blame it on a new variant, and of course that'll bring in more lockdowns, and then they'll have to come up with another vaccine to treat the new variant, and it'll just keep going on forever, man. It'll never, never, ever go away. So at this point, I just say, hey, if I meet people that have been vaccinated, I just ask them to kind of please look into this before you get another jab. Go to VAERS and go to a few other sites and hear what they're saying about people dying and the adverse effects before you go ahead and get yourself another jab. But they're not getting this information on CBC or CTV. You don't hear one contradictory word about this so-called jab on any of the mainstream. So what does that tell people? That we're in a communist dictatorship right now in Canada.
Well, I was speaking to a gentleman, retired real estate. And he admitted that he had both double jabs, and he's happy and proud about it. I said, well, you know, if it was a safe jab and not a toxic cocktail, you know, I'd say good for you and good for doing the right thing. But you do realize 0.8% of the people that take the jab die within the first week, within a week of taking it. And they go, no, what are you talking about? I said, well, it's not on MSN because we're being lied to. And then I mentioned the VAERS site. This is the information is out there, but you got to go hunt for it. They're keeping this suppressed. You know, you did the right thing. You're a good person. I thank you for that. But you've actually done yourself a lot of harm, and I hope God has mercy on your soul and the people that push this.
The actual numbers that are being reported to us, actually what's happening out there, Ed, there's a great discrepancy. We know that. I mean, university studies are telling us that, you know, normally when this kind of thing happens, boy, you got a lot of noise in the background. A lot of noise. I can't hear myself.
How about now? Any better?
Yeah, you got a lot of noise. But, you know, you're only getting, apparently, now I've looked at 3 or 4 different reports on this, Ed, but what they're telling us is that we're only getting maybe 1 to 10% of the actual reported deaths that are being reported on mainstream as opposed to what's actually happening out there. So I'm trying to look into that a little bit myself, because if that's the case, then we've seen 500,000 deaths from this so-called vaccine. If that was the case, you'd think there'd be a little bit more of conversations going amongst the public about that level of death. So I've got a few questions about that. But the fact is that people are dying from this, that more people have died from this than any vaccine, so-called vaccine, ever brought forward in history of vaccines. The fact that none of this has ever gone through any long-term studies, that we're blindly accepting this from the government. A lot of people are going to hang for this one day, Ed. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe there'll be people going to jail and people hanging for this one day in the future when it gets exposed. Well, because it is starting to come out now.
Barry, like I said, the people that are on, you know, that have only got a week or two to live because they're on their deathbed because of this jab, and they discover they've been lied to, don't think that they're not going to be seeking retribution. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well,
I don't think these people have a chance.
If you were a relative of somebody that was affected in this way, you'd be feeling the same way. If you were a parent of a child that died from taking a jab, what would you feel? How would you feel about that? What would you be doing? I know what I'd be doing. You know, but I can't say what I'd be doing on the radio here, but I know what I'd be doing if somebody did that to my child and that my child died. You know, there'd be a lot of anger. And I sense that growing in our society now as more and more people are becoming aware of the adverse effects of this. and what it's actually doing to people. And we're only touching the tip of the iceberg. I had a guest on last week, Dr. Arianna Loves, and she's talking about graphene oxide and what that's doing in these jabs. And that's part of the ingredients. We're learning about all the stuff that they're putting in this that's very, very detrimental to the human body. Well, why are they putting this stuff in these vaccines that they know it's detrimental? Graphene oxide, they know effects of that, and they're putting it in the jab. How come, Ed? Why are they doing that? They know.
How come it's not
like they don't know?
Why isn't it listed as a secret ingredient or, what's the proprietary ingredient on some of these jabs? That's why they don't put it on the... ingredient.
And where are masks coming from? They're coming from China. Where are the PCR tests coming from? They're coming from China. Well, what does it take for people to figure out that, you know, China isn't our friends, that they're hell-bent on destroying our culture and taking over our civilization? That's their end game. And we're allowing them to make critical components to fight something that doesn't exist. I mean, it's a perfect situation for them. They're just sitting there laughing. They're laughing because we're allowing this to happen in our society.
Speaking about China, Mike Lindell, is it August 10th or is it August 12th where they're going live for 2 days and they're going to be looking at all the data from the election from last November in the States? That's going to be a huge expose. That $5 million contest has still not been won for anyone that can prove that the data that they're going to be providing is falsified.
I don't think we've heard the end of that election in any shape or form. Down in the United States, especially when people are looking at what Mr. Joe Biden is doing in the United States of America right now. He's bringing that country down at light speed, man. Look at the problems they're having at the borders, Ed. Just totally, totally out of control. They're allowing thousands and thousands of people coming in. I was looking at the numbers of these people that are actually carrying COVID into the United States of America, and they're just astronomical numbers. And this is what the government's doing down there. And you know the scary part of that is, Ed? That they're all going, hey, all we have to do, guys, is get across the United States of America and show up at the Canadian border, and we're in the land of milk and honey, because they're all going to be heading here eventually, Ed. That's the scary part. And who will be there at the border to open the door wide open and say, come on in?
Justin?
Well, of course. I mean, people don't understand. I mean, Justin came out and already said that he's counting on the immigration vote to win the next election. And that's just what he's been able to do since he's become our prime minister, the amount of people he's brought into the country. Well, every one of those people is going to vote for the liberals, the people that brought him to the land of milk and honey. And he is a snake beyond a snake, guy. Everything this man does is destructive to Canada. And he's still our prime minister. We have no recourse in our government, Ed, and that's got to change. Citizens need recall legislation. We need a government that will actually give us a voice, and we don't have it now in Canada at all, in any shape or form. We're being run over. There's no opposition in our government, any shape or form. They're all on the same boat. They all got a ticket to the big party, and we don't. Go ahead.
When you're talking to Doug Forrest in the next hour, mention that to him, and this is one of the things you put into your constitution. They have to be rewritten. There's a lot of people talking about it more and more every day. And this is just another one of those things where the truth cannot be hidden for long. And when people discover how the fact of our actual government is in Canada, people are going to think, well, what do we do about it? See, well, let's start thinking and talking about the constitutional conventions, writing our own constitution, and setting up a future that will be good for our children. And good for all people. And I'm not saying that as a socialist or a communist, but I'm saying let freedom reign. Let's get back our freedoms that we had 100, 150 years ago. Let's build on the strength that we have as humans, our ingenuity, competition. It pushes people to be better, faster, smarter. This is how we've progressed as societies, and this is why communism always fails. Because you get the stagnation and the corruption in it. So we're living in dark days, Barry, but you know, there's people who are actually starting to wake up more and more every day, and I'm looking at a bright future 10 years from now. But it's going to take work, it's going to take dedication, and it's going to take intent and will and action, and it's got to happen.
Well, I'll try and share your optimism, okay, Ed? We haven't lost it yet, but the window is getting very, very small. And if Canadians don't get their stuff together here in the next year or two, because I think that's all we have left to turn this around right now, then we are looking at a very bleak future. But I'm going to stay optimistic and hope that my fellow Canadians will wake up and smell the coffee before it's too late. Because the future that's coming, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, Ed. I wouldn't.
For this fall, I'm going to make a prediction that food prices are going to go up at least 25% to 40%. Wages will not keep track. The CERB finances are going down. People are going to have – this is going to be a tough winter here. And people are going to start asking why, what happened.
Yeah, why are our food prices going through the roof? Why is gasoline going to hit $2 a liter before the end of the year, Ed? What's going on there? Because this government is taking every available penny out of your pocket that they can get their hands on, and it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Eventually, people are going to start asking questions, Ed, but it seems like right now Canadians still, you know, like I said, a lot of us are starting to wake up. But unfortunately, a lot of people are still asleep and they just don't want to get involved for some reason. I don't understand that myself because I know what's coming, but I see a change coming. And we'll stay optimistic and we'll go with that they're, you know, we're going to turn this thing around. We better do it pretty quick, though, bud. That's all I can say.
Barry, I was at the Calgary rally yesterday and I saw a great sign there on the where the nurses were speaking. And the sign said, COVIDism, you masked for it.
That's a good one, Ed.
That's beautiful, you know. That's a good one. That one. COVIDism, you masked for it.
That is a good one. I think we should make up a sign. That kind of says it all, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Anyways, Barry, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming in. Well, thanks for coming in, Ed, on short notice. Like I said, I really was looking forward to having a chat with Kelly today, but I don't know what happened to her. I'm sure something's come up. But thanks you and Derek for coming in on short notice, guys. I really appreciate it. Always good talking with you, Ed.
And hey, Derek, Barry, have a good day.
And Derek.
Derek can't hear. We're on headphones. So I'm sorry I can't hear Derek. He's not here.
Okay, well, I'll let you go then, Ed, and thanks for dropping in.
Okay, Barry, thanks. Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye, Steve.
Okay, goodbye.
So what do you think about what's going on down in your country right now, Steve, seeing we have a couple minutes to chat here before Doug joins us?
What do I think? Well, I know you don't like to hear what I think. How much
take before it falls apart? That'd be my question.
Well, I don't believe a lot of what goes on the news, Barry, and Washington D.C. I know you know that. So, you know, I think it's all theater. I think the military's been in control for a long, long time. I think there's going to be martial law coming. You know, they're going to play this out. They're going to have Trump back in there probably next year or something, or I don't know, this year, who knows, because Trump's the only one that's going to be able to bring the right wing to its knees. I've said that for a long, long time. Tyranny won't come from the left wing, because there's too many people, have too many guns, and they're just going to start killing. That's basically probably what's going to happen anyways. I don't know.
I hope it doesn't get to that point, Steve. I really do.
Well, you know, I don't believe
we've
anything.
We've had that conversation many times, and I think we're playing right into their hands if we go to that point. But
sure,
I don't blame people if they go to that point, because it doesn't seem like governments are listening to anything that the public,
well, you know,
or people are saying to them anymore.
I've said the government, doesn't matter which side, they're both on the same side, but they have to be seen as the victim. That's always going to be the case. There's It's never their fault. It's always the left wing's fault or the right wing's fault. It's never both wings' fault. And they blame everything on us anyways. You know, the $29 trillion, that's all our fault anyways, because of the welfare and the old people and the disabled. You know,
they call us useless eaters.
Useless eaters, exactly right.
The first ones they're going to come after us is this old guys. That me, I'm in that gate. I'm in that group now.
Well, Steve. You know, basically at the turn of the 20th century, you and I would have been on our deathbeds anyways, because we would have worked ourselves to death on the farm or in the factories or whatever the case is. You know, 1933, when the Social Security came in, the average age of a man was 68 years. So that's why they put the Social Security at 65, because they knew that.
I just turned 67.
Yeah, well,
Steve, so
you
I
know.
Guess I only got one more year to go, I guess. Huh? Well, thanks for sharing that with me today, Steve. I'll start preparing myself accordingly.
right. I hear you.
Of course. But you know, any time in history where tyrannical governments have taken over society, the first thing they do is get rid of the elders in society, the people that have the knowledge, the people that have seen the changes and understand what's going on, so they can't share that with the younger generation. We see that happening right now in our world.
That's right.
Right to the T. So they're not leaving anything undone. Like I said, they're following the Communist Manifesto right to the T. And like I said, I've many times on shows that people need to read that book. It's one book that I made myself read. And I'm not a reader, but I read it and I comprehended what they were saying.
Oh, I have
and
to.
It really explains what's going on in this world today, man.
Along with Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals.
Rules for Radicals, yeah. Hillary Clinton's mentor. Hey, listen, we've got 4 minutes here. Let's take a break, Steve, for a few minutes. I'll drag Doug in here, and I'm going to go out and use the facilities for a minute, and I'll be back in about 4 minutes. How's that?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
Okay, folks, we'll be back with Doug Forst in 5 minutes or so. Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Kevin and Derek and Ed for filling in on short notice. I got Doug Force here with me for the second hour, and Doug just told me the reason Kelly and Pat weren't with me today is because they're both deadly sick. So I'll make sure I get them back on here in the next couple weeks, hopefully. Always good to have a conversation with Doug Force. I haven't had a chat with Doug for, about 2.5 months now. Problem, that's because I went to the bush and hid, and he's still sitting out here fighting the battles. So welcome back to the show, Doug. Always good to have you in, my friend. And we were saying at the break there, we're going to talk about the magic virus today. It sounds like a pretty interesting conversation.
It is. I know that you've been talking with Wayne Peters. You come to our when you're in town, you've come to our meetings, our mm-hmm. task force meetings on Tuesday mm-hmm. evenings, mm-hmm. And Ethics Over Fear. And it's been a really wonderful, holy moly, talk about these doctors coming out and exposing the truth, which is what these government officials, and I'll give you a quick, for example, Ms. Dina Henshaw, and I don't call her Dr. Dina Henshaw because she is a doctor. She graduated medical school and then went right into becoming a bureaucrat. So I don't think, I believe she's never had a patient in her life. As an MD. So how do you call yourself an MD if you've never actually had a patient?
Good question.
Well, and the thing too is here across Canada, these doctors have been coming out and they've been explaining what these vaccines are, which are not vaccines, and why would you take a vaccine when you have a 99.7% survival rate from this magic virus? I mean, most people have 100% survival rate if you're under the age of 82. So what the heck? Right? And so it's been really interesting listening to the doctors and what they have to say. This Monday, Wayne is putting together a wonderful panel. Three doctors and himself are going to be talking about shedding and PCR testing, which is another good. As you can see, wow, I forgot. The CDC last week came out and said PCR testing creates too many false positives. We're no longer going to use it anymore. And by too many, they meant 100% false positives.
Yeah, when we ramp it up to 45 cycles, we get 100% false readings. It makes for great radio, man. Because we can just keep ramming this up their butts in. They're not even going to know. Go ahead.
Well, it's just...
Excuse my language.
And it's just getting, it's crazier and crazier for them. Dina Henshaw on July the 1st, I'll come back to her. She said, we're lifting all things, all the no more masks, no more social distancing, no more this, no more that, no more testing, that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, okay. And then further she says, yes, we're taking this down to a flu. I'm going, whoa, did you just admit there was no COVID-19? Oh, my God. How interesting is that? Now, did she admit that? No. But she said we're downgrading this to a flu. But you might think maybe there might be something there that they're getting scared. And that's the problem now because people are starting to wake up. And I think that's wonderful. We get more people waking up, the more and more of us wake up to the fraud and fear that's going on. And I call it, it's fraudulent fear, because how many viruses that are hugely deadly pathogens need advertising, need
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every 15 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, you would know that there was a deadly virus from the bodies piled up on the curb. You know, you remember the old movie, "Bring Out Your Dead, Bring Out Your Dead." That's what it would be like here, except we're not seeing any of that. It doesn't surprise me that there was no flu in 2020. And if you look at, and here's the funny thing. So I looked at the numbers of the flu in 2018. It was probably one of the worst flu seasons we've had in a long time. The numbers were quite high. In 2019, the numbers dropped off. And then in 2020, they dropped to zero. Whoopsie. What the heck happened there? Did COVID-19 cure the flu? No, because the flu is back now this year. So what's really going on here, Barry? That's the big question here. And it's really about common sense, isn't it? You know?
It is. You know, Doug, the one thing I tell people, I say, look, why don't you go look at the numbers for people that have died in Canada for the last 10 years? And you will see that there's no difference since the onslaught of this so-called pandemic. There has been no change. So what has really happened in our society? I mean, were we putting masks on people for the flu 3-4 years ago? Were we social distancing? Were we self-isolating? Were we doing any of these draconian measures? No. The only thing that's changed is the narrative through the media. And it just goes to show you the power of the media, Doug.
And what
how much
cure,
influence they have.
What cure has a higher death rate than the virus itself? Varis down in the States is trying to suppress those numbers. They said there's 50,000 deaths, and a lot of professionals now, especially pathologists and virologists, are coming out and saying, yeah, you multiply that by 10, and that's what the death rate really is. So 50,000 times 10 is 500,000.
That's something I'm having a hard time with, Doug, is the actual numbers, to actually be able to get down to the nitty-gritty and say this is actually what's happening, because the CDC says something, VAERS says something. You hear all these numbers being thrown around. Where does a person find the actual truth? Go ahead.
Well, you're not going to. That's because the governments globally will not don't want you to get those numbers, because then if the true number came out, let's say it is 500,000 people in the United States, over 330 million people that live there, died of COVID-19, or died of the virus that's supposed to cure COVID-19. Well, and the CDC numbers are people that have died from COVID-19 is 83,000, and then they readjusted them. You remember they readjusted them down to 6,000 people in the U.S. So you look at that and you go, that's 100 times more people die of the cure than have died of the actual virus.
Right, right.
How many people do you think would then take the cure?
You would see them disappear from the lineups, that's for sure.
Well,
I guess our biggest problem is getting that information out to the public now, because we're being censored left, right, and center. Go ahead.
Well, and if I was watching a video a few months ago now. This gentleman in Toronto was down at the largest vaccine center in Toronto, at the downtown where they have the big convention center. And so they rented this. I guess the government took over and took the main floor of it, which they could service 1,000 people in there, just with all the tables and chairs set up. For being vaccinated on, I guess, 1,000 people an hour or whatever it was, or 1,000 people every 15 minutes. And the guy was there, and it had been open already for about a week. And he videotaped, I think it was 6 people. And this was on a Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning. And that was it. And he was there for about 45 minutes to an hour, and there was nobody there. And then come the following week, John Tory closed that vaccine center.
Losing money on that one, was he?
Well, I mean, you keep the thing open and there's nobody coming in, and that's downtown Toronto, where of all places, you know, that you would think that they'd be all running for their jab.
Well, if you listen to what mainstream media is telling us, is that Their vaccine programs are rolling out just great, that Canadians are showing up in droves and everybody's doing their bit to stop the spread of COVID-19 is the narrative I hear. And
but
like you said, Doug, that's so far. Well, of course it is. But it's so far from the truth, it's not even funny.
Well, what advertising is the truth?
I mean, they lie to us, Doug? I can't believe that, man. I can't believe that.
Back in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, there was this big to-do about truth in advertising. And there were court cases going on at that time. People were, you know, the big companies were getting sued for lying in advertising. And I remember, I was in university at the time, and this professor was talking about how they get around certain words. So, you know, remember Clorets, chlorophyll and retsin, right?
Yeah.
That was a big selling point. Well, you know what chlorophyll is? It's food coloring, or the green in plants. But do you know what retsin is?
Go ahead.
vegetable oil.
Okay.
So chlorophyll and retin in this gum that cleans up your, you know, for your mouth for fresh breath, just goes to show you how they, you know, curve things. So that you, because what's retin? Oh, I don't know what retin is. It must be good. I'm going to go buy the gum with chlorophyll and retin in it. And these were, you know, were they lying? Well, were they being truthful? No. But it does contain retin, but is that being truthful as to whether it can make your breath fresher?
So well, it doesn't make your breath fresher. It'd definitely kill you. So one of the
And these things. Well, and you look today, and the advertising that goes on there. I mean, it's going crazy. I got a Pfizer contract from Brazil, so the Brazilian government signed this Pfizer contract, and it's amazing when you read this thing because it's got the English is on there. And how protected Pfizer is and how unprotected the Brazilian government is. And I was told that these things are boilerplate. In other words, they put them out across all the world governments, and they're all basically the same, putting the government in the position of being sued if something goes wrong. And here's the big thing. If they don't fulfill the contract with Pfizer, they have to pay it out anyway. So if they ban Pfizer vaccines or experimental drugs because they're killing people, they still have to pay Pfizer the full contract.
Wow.
Oh yeah. So I was thinking I'm going to do this myself, and anybody who's listening can do this. You can go on to the Canadian government website and get yourself a access to information form, and hey, ask for the Pfizer contract, ask for the Moderna contract, ask for the AstraZeneca contract, ask for the Johnson & Johnson contract, because these are public documents. They signed on behalf of we the people, and we the people are you and I, Barry, and all these wonderful listening people that are listening today. So, I mean, we have the right to review these documents, I would think, don't you?
Well, it'd be our right for sure, but most people aren't aware of that, Doug. Most people, unfortunately, don't care.
Well, and
that's
and today,
what I see that in our society a lot. People just don't seem to care. They are going to care real soon, though. Go ahead.
And today on your show, those people in the listening audience now can go ahead and do that.
Well, Pat got his time in court because he got a ticket. So say somebody wanted to challenge health services without actually being charged with an offense. How do they do that, Doug?
A lawsuit.
That's the way to do that, eh? Because I know that there's a few people here in Terrace, and also my daughter is looking for reasons and ways to go after the government. How simple is that to do?
It takes money because it's going to take a good litigation attorney, and they're not cheap. But if you get, you know, 20 or 30 people together and everybody chips in 10 grand, it becomes doable at that point. And the word you're looking for is malfeasance. And it's considered to be a criminal tort here in Canada. And if you are able to prove criminal malfeasance, not only do they have to pay a large amount of money, but they also can go to jail for up to 10 years. And you can do that against any public official.
But you can't do it unless you got lots of money, correct?
Well, it's going to, yeah. For yeah. something like that, it takes, because the government, don't forget, the government uses your money to defend themselves.
Right, of course, and they've rigged the court system. First. We know that.
Yeah. So. But I know of two cases winding their way through the courts now that are doing something. One's similar to that, and one will be malfeasance.
What's going on with Rocco Bilotti's cases? Do you know anything about that?
Because I haven't been in Ontario for a couple of months now, I really haven't been following Rocco. I see every once in a while him and Amanda Forbes do a live stream, and I'll catch a few minutes of that now and again. But to be honest with you, I think, in all honesty, I think Rocco is a good man, but I think he's tipping at windmills when he does these constitutional challenges that literally will take not only months but years to wind their way through courts. When people should be challenging the Public Health Act when they get a ticket, go ahead and challenge the Public Health Act. It's called a charter challenge in Alberta. And I do advise that people do get an attorney to do that, at least the paperwork on it, rather than going in pro se. And there's a great law thing out now called Lawyers for Truth. And these guys are, wow, amazing. We've had two meetings now with them at Ethics Over Fear, and we're going to start working with them under our umbrella to help people go there for getting any kind of legal assistance they need. And there's a fund being that's already been set up at Lawyers for Truth that people can donate into to help people who don't have the money to hire an attorney to go into these courts and defeat these tickets. So, yeah. It's a lot of good stuff happening, Barry. A lot of good stuff.
There is. You know what? I'm seeing more and more people starting to rise up in Canada, and I've seen that in the last hour. You know, Carrie Simpson there, she's got a group going now, 300K, and I was looking at what this organization is doing, and they are really starting to gain a lot of attention because what they're trying to do, Doug, and a lot of people are on the same page, they're trying to amalgamate people so that we're not spread out, that we can unify our voice in one large group. And I don't know if you've looked into their organization, what they're trying to do, but it all seems legitimate and seems like a very, very good initiative to me. Are you aware of what they're doing?
No, but really that's basically what Ethics Over Fear is doing with their task force. We're bringing like yourself, being that you're on the front line here doing your radio shows, what's her name, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson in Vancouver. There's a couple of others out in one in Manitoba. I can't remember all the names, but Wayne is very up on that. And then from behind the scenes, we're also bringing in more doctors and the nurses. The frontline nurses will be coming in and doing some shows with us shortly once they get back to Ontario and get back settled in to their homes and their families because they've been on the road for a while. And there's all kinds of stuff happening behind the scenes right now with Ethics Over Fear that people haven't seen yet because we're not ready to bring it forward. As a matter of fact, the day before, I was talking to Wayne, and his email popped up. And in the email, he says, "Oh, my God, Doug, this is crazy." I said, "What's going on?" He says, "Reimer Follett just reached out to me and wants to have 3 dates as to when he can come on the air with me."
Wow. I just watched the video he did, Doug. What a great video. And of course, they took it down right away.
Well, and so this stuff is starting to come out. So Wayne has been working diligently, absolutely diligently.
We have
We have our servers, our stuff set up on servers in Switzerland now, and it comes with a live streaming channel. Basically, it's our own TV channel, and it's international. And it looks like he'll do his first show on that tomorrow. For the panel, the 3-paneled of doctors.
Cool. Everybody, you got to go watch this, okay? So maybe at the end of the show here today, I'll go find some links for that and put them up in chat here. Cause cool. I recommend everybody listen in and follow what Wayne's doing. Wayne is doing some incredible stuff, Doug, and I just take my hat off to the guy. I really do.
Yeah, he really is. And he's the guy in front of the camera. I'm the guy behind the camera. I'm the one. I was the one working with the attorneys and stuff like that to get that organized. So we're really trying to get as much help for the people and take an offensive move rather than a defensive move all the time, because we're always trying to defend ourselves. Well, masks don't work. Well, and social, you know, and all this stuff is more of, you know, you're, what's the word for it? Tipping at windmills.
Yep. So well, the other thing. Go ahead.
I'm just saying now we should go on the offensive. Fight the tickets. Don't let that pass. So turn them over, sign the back, and get going.
Well, the best defense is a good offense, Doug. And never has that been truer said that we need to go after these guys and hold them accountable in courts of law to ask what they've been doing to our society over the last 18 months. If that could ever happen, we call them out. You'd see a monumental change in society. Unfortunately, I still see a lot of people that are saying to me they're happy and proud that they've got fully vaccinated and they've done their part to stop the spread of this terrible virus. That still exists in a lot of people I talk to, but in the same mouthful, I'm seeing a lot of people wake up. So we are having a challenge. We are having a split in society. That's for sure, Doug.
There was a Twitter feed out a couple of days ago from Israel. The hospitals in Israel are full to the brim. 95% of the people in the hospital are vaccinated, and they're dying and dropping like flies because the vaccine that they use, the Pfizer-Moderna vaccine, only protects them from the magic virus and nothing else. These people are now dying. They're dying from the common cold. They're dying from the common cold, Barry.
Because their immune system no longer. Yeah, their immune systems are being compromised, Doug.
Well, they don't protect.
Exactly. I mean, your immune system is designed to be exposed to germs on a regular basis. That's what makes it work, makes it strong, makes it do what it's supposed to do. When you take that away from your immune system, you are opening yourself up to all kinds of stuff that would normally not affect you. One of the reports I read, Doug, is from Singapore and the United Kingdom, where all the new cases of COVID that are being reported in Singapore, 75% of the new cases, this is right from their health officials, that 75% of the new cases being reported in Singapore are people that have had two vaccinations. 75% of the new cases are being represented by people that are fully vaccinated. So what's going on, folks? Go ahead, Doug. That's just one country. I've seen the same thing in four or five countries that I've read reports on here in the last week. They're all telling us the same thing, that people that are vaccinated are creating more problems in society than people that aren't vaccinated. Well, figure that out, folks.
Let's take a few minutes here, and I'm going to get a little technical with you.
Okay.
I watched this wonderful video by the gentleman's name is Dr. David Martin. And Dr. David Martin did an online interview with Reimer Falmick about, I think it was July the 9th. It's up on Rumble, ladies and gentlemen. Please go watch it up on Rumble. And he explains how this SARS-CoV-2 is actually synthetic. And the mRNA vaccines. So a virus will have about 30,000 markers in it. Okay, that's its genome. It'll be about 30,000 markers. Whereas what they are doing with the mRNA, they're taking between 15 and 20 markers for the spike protein and inserting that into what they call a vaccine. Now they're using CRISPR technology. CHRISPR. You can look that up. That's all used to be all over YouTube. Very interesting how that works. And using CRISPR technology to insert this mRNA into your DNA so that your immune system starts producing spike proteins. What are the spike proteins? Well, that's what the virus produces itself to invade your cells. So if the virus... And that's what you're producing now in your body. You're the virus. You are now the virus to yourself. You get that? Yeah. And
that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Well, yeah, your immune system now is compromised to the point that it will only protect you because it's working full time. That's why they call this people that are shedding spike proteins, is because it's working full time to get rid of the spike proteins, and it can't protect you from anything else. It's overwhelmed with the spike proteins, and so somebody coughs in your general direction and has a common cold, guess what?
Boom.
It'll kill you.
Wow.
But it doesn't have to be and it doesn't even have to be the unvaccinated that have the common cold. You could have some guy with who may have taken a Johnson & Johnson vaccine 6 months ago, and he's not producing the spike protein because that's not what that one was designed for, but he can get a common cold. He'll get very, very, very sick, but you get a piece of that. Holy moly. Yeah, the two shot, the double shots. We always called the second shot of the Moderna and Pfizer the kill shot.
Well, the good news is that Justin just informed us that he's bought enough vaccines to get us all boosters for the next 4 or 5 years. Isn't that great, Doug? I mean, he's just looking after us so well. I can't believe it, man. That's what he came out and told us, folks. I mean, come on, let's figure that out. How many variants are they going to come up with in the next couple of years? I mean, they've already laid them out. The timetable's already laid out and made public. Go ahead.
In the history of variants, never has a variant ever been stronger than the original. They're always a step down. That's science.
Exactly.
That's just straight science. It always steps down. It becomes weaker and weaker and weaker every time it becomes a variant.
Of course.
What I found to be kind of interesting was, have you heard of the graphene oxide?
Yeah, my guest last week talked about it in depth, Doug.
Oh, cool. And
boy, I'll tell you, that's a whole new ball of wax that we need to talk about. It's a huge can of worms. Go ahead.
Well, and people say, well, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist if you think this is a depopulation plan. I say, really? Look up graphene oxide and then come back and tell me if I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Yep. And because all these vaccines contain it, Doug. Go ahead.
Nope, not all. Well,
okay, I thought they all contained it. Excuse me then. I stand corrected. I thought they all contained it.
Because some won't, and these are the ones they want to keep around. Then they have 20%. 40%, 60%, and 100% containment. So the 100%, they want to get rid of you in the next 18 months. The 60%, they'll keep you around for a couple of years because they don't want you dropping dead too quickly. And so they've set this out so that people will be dying, massive dying, over a period of up to 10 years. And so the guy who had the 20% will get a booster shot in the spring of next year, let's say, and he'll go up to 40%. And the guy at 40% will get a booster shot next year in the spring, and he'll go up to 60%. The guy with 60%, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's how they intend to depopulate the planet over a period of, don't forget, what's their target date? 2030. How many years is that away?
9 years, Doug, and clicking.
Yep.
That's actually how she explained it to me last week, and I don't have the greatest retention of memory, but that's exactly how Ariane explained it to me last week and how dangerous this is, and the fact that some of them do contain 100% and they are programmed to destroy people very, very quickly at that percentage.
And the graphene oxide is an oxygen – they go after the oxygen cells in the blood. So basically what's happening to you, your red blood cells – are being I like this word. They're being held up, you know, with a gun, and having the oxygen stolen from them by the graphene oxide, right? And as the graphene oxide, as more and more of it gets into your system, more and more of your blood cells aren't carrying oxygen to where they need to be, and it's slowly killing you. That's what this is designed to do. It's over a time period. I mean, it doesn't get more diabolical than this. I mean, these people are psychopaths to design something like this. Oh, my God.
It's not like they don't know the effects of graphene oxide. Oh. They know what the effect is, Doug, and they're doing this, of course, on purpose.
Yeah, this is not by accident.
No, but we got to get the public aware of this, what they're doing to you. They don't seem to be interested, man.
Well,
I think, you know what, I hate to say it, but, you know, maybe it's going to take a few people getting sick that have been vaccinated in my community to get the rest of them to start paying attention. I hate to see that happen, but maybe that's what it's going to take, because a lot of them, Doug, I'm telling you, they're bragging to me about getting their vaccines, asking me why I'm not getting mine. I mean, are you serious, folks? Come on. But that's what I'm dealing with in Terrace. You got to come up here, Doug.
I have a chat
with a few of the boys. I got a boat ready to take you fishing. I keep telling you that.
I wound up in the hospital last night.
That's not good.
Well, it turns out I have a kidney stone that is causing me a few problems. Anyways, I would tell you a quick little story. So I get in there and I'm in a lot of pain, and it's you know, they give me some nice drugs to, okay, I'm feeling much better now, kind of thing. Let's go dance. But the doctor comes to me and she says, I got a couple of questions for you, Mr. Forrest. I said, okay. She says, have you taken the COVID vaccine? And I looked her right in the eyes and I said, I don't take experimental drugs, so no. And she's like, just like there with her mouth agape, like, what?
What did you just say?
I said, I don't take experimental drugs.
That's what I'm saying. That's what she's saying to herself. Yeah.
I know. Then she leaves because she was a little shaken by that. And about 15 minutes later, the RN, the head nurse for the whole thing down in Emerge, comes in and she says, "Well, if I come in, you have to put on your face shield because they won't let you in without a face shield or a mask." And I said, "So your mask doesn't work?" And she's like, "What?" Common sense suddenly isn't so common, is it?
Well, if your mask is working, then you shouldn't be scared of me. It's like if you're vaccinated, you shouldn't be scared of me. And yet people are vaccinated in my community and they're still telling me to stay 6 feet away from them. What?
These are not vaccines, first of all. We need to get some clarity on that. They do not fall under a definition of a vaccine. Vaccine is supposed to give you immunity for what you're being injected for. These right. do not. And even Moderna came up. It's on their website, and I actually have the capture off of the website. They say these are not vaccines. That what we're injecting into people is a God, I just left my brain. Too much drugs in Alaska. It's an operating system. It's an operating system. That's what they call it, an operating system. It's not a vaccine. It's an operating system. And we will be updating that operating system over years and years and years. So what do you get these booster shots? That's a booster for your operating system. They've now taken over your body. Even Pfizer said that it won't protect you from the virus, but it will lessen your symptoms. That's all Pfizer says it's designed to do. Lessen your symptoms. So the cough and the sore throat and the sniffles
will be mitigated. Will be lessened.
No, yeah, not mitigated. Mitigated. Not oh, mitigated.
That reduced.
Reduced. That's yeah. it. That's yeah. the word.
Yeah.
So that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. So you're allowing this experimental concoction to be injected into your body simply for the reason of reducing the symptoms when you get this so-called killer virus? That doesn't make any sense to me, but nothing they're doing makes any sense in any shape or form, Doug. Go ahead. It's absolute insanity. Why can't people – you know, I've got a grade 9 education, Doug, and I've kind of got this figured out. How come these really smart people can't figure it out, man?
Well, that's because you don't have a TV and you read books.
I threw my TV out 7 years ago, Doug. Gone. Yeah, like a mine's now been... on a honeymoon. Yeah, it's gone forever.
Yeah, I did mine about 18 years ago now.
Well, I'm a little bit behind, but never better late than never.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, you're up in an isolated area. It's nice to have, you know, watch a movie late at night or watch a hockey game now and then. So why not?
You know what? If I want to watch something, I got a cable coming from my computer to a monitor, and I can always put on a movie if I want and watch it. But I'm not much of a movie watcher. I kind of like watching documentaries a lot. I've been really paying attention to what's going on with Yellowstone and what's going on with the Three Gorges Dam lately in China. I've been really – my attention's just been focused a lot on the flooding we've seen around the world here in the last – 45 days is just beyond anything that we've literally seen in human history, recorded history. Why is that all happening right now, Doug? I mean, we've had 12 countries that have experienced 1,000-year floods in the last 45 days. 1,000-year floods, folks, not 100-year, 1,000-year floods. 18 countries majorly affected, but 12 have seen 1,000-year floods, Doug. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but that, you know, if you ask people like Al Gore or that super scientist Greta Thunberg, you know, they're going to tell you that's global warming. Oh, gotcha.
Of course.
That's global warming.
Yep.
And then you actually ask a scientist and they explain it to you that the world works in cycles. And this is all part – we've known that the Ring of Fire – which is the one that goes across right where you are out there on the Pacific. That's, yep. you know, starts in the Aleutian Islands, in the islands down in where the Philippines are and so forth, Indonesia, and comes right up and goes right through and then comes down the west coast of British Columbia, Alaska, all the way down to Chile. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's called the Ring of Fire, and it's been very active now for almost 10 years. And what happens is when the planet goes into a solar minimum, which means that the sun activity is quieting, a lot of volcanic activity starts to come forward. And we're seeing a lot of that now. I mean, if you look at Yellowstone, that's a geyser. What is that based on? That's based on volcanic, because it's all hot steam coming out. So what's underneath it? There's a magma dome underneath the Yellowstone Park, as you know from watching these videos or the documentaries. And so there's going to be a lot of activity in volcanoes right now.
Do you know, seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it everywhere.
Do you know the number one contributor to carbon dioxide in the world today is? Number one.
Volcanoes. Yeah. Of course.
67%.
Yeah. Yeah, way more than the so-called human race, man. We're having just about zero effect on that in our atmosphere. And if you actually look at the concentrations of carbon in our atmosphere right now, Doug, the last report I read was 400 parts per million. Well, that's very bad. That's not good. Ideally, we like to see it around 1,800 parts for optimal growth of plants on the planet, but we're very, very low right now. At 200 parts per million, we see the stop, plants will stop growing.
It's called desertification.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I know how we can put Al Gore and Greta Thunberg to work and all these other great climatologists, as they like to call themselves. We're going to give them ticket books. And we're going to send them up to the volcanoes and have them write tickets to the volcanoes for spewing out carbon dioxide. And, you know, fine every volcano on planet Earth, you know, $1,000 a ticket until they stop spewing carbon dioxide.
How come I never thought of that, Doug? Yeah. Where do you come up with these great ideas, man? That would fly. Yeah, go stand right on the edge there, just after this thing's going to erupt. But well, you know what, Doug? If any of these big ones really let go, well, then we're all in major trouble, especially Yellowstone. And Yellowstone has really been doing some crazy stuff lately. I've been following it quite a bit, and it is showing signs of becoming very active. They just took temperature readings on the bottom of Yellowstone Lake, and that alone was scary. The actual temperature just off the lake bottom, and what it's indicating is that big dome of lava is getting closer and closer and closer to the surface, and hopefully we don't see it come through in our lifetime because things will never be the same. But nature's going to do what it's going to do. That's not just the only thing you got to worry about. That those domes of lava extend all the way down to California, Doug.
Yeah.
The amount of lava underneath the western states, boy, I'll tell you, they've had super eruptions millions of years ago that would make Yellowstone look small. But, of course, we don't hear about it because it hasn't been within 650,000 years. But Yellowstone is doing some pretty crazy stuff right now, and I'm watching that. Then, of course, what's going on in China, man, right now with the Three Gorges? Well, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but they are in a lot of trouble right now with that dam. And I believe it's just a matter of time when it's going to let go here. And, boy, I'll tell you, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
We've been opening the floodgates for that to get it. It's just we're having an unusual period of rain here. For example, here in Alberta, it's supposed to be very dry. And last night we had an amazing amount of rain come through, and then it just goes away. And it's been doing that now, but it's not hail. They're used to get hail. And I was talking with a friend the other day as we were driving along, and he says, this is going to be a great year for the farmers because they're going to get good crops, and they might even get two crops out of this because of the wet and the dry. The wet and the dry gives the crops a good opportunity to grow in two crops. We was talking about canola. He says it looks like they might get two crops of canola, and I'm like, wow, isn't that cool? But in other parts of the world, like China, where they got the Three Gorge Dam, that's not good. And they get torrentials.
Yeah.
And that's
there'd be a silver lining to that. It would wipe out one report told me that it would wipe out approximately 35% of China's manufacturing ability, just the release of that dam if it ever collapsed. So it might be a good thing because all of a sudden we'd have to start producing stuff we couldn't buy anymore.
Yeah, it's getting pretty close. Once our fiat currency system collapses, we're not going to be able to buy anything anyway.
That's coming real soon, too, isn't it?
That's getting crazy. I've been told now by three different bankers to watch for August the 11th. And I said, what's going to happen? He said, just watch.
That's only 3 days from now.
That's right. That's 3 days from now.
What have I got to know about? I don't know about. Fill me in here real quick, Doug.
They wouldn't tell me. They just said, watch the financial markets on the 11th. Either we're going to survive it or it's going to be wiped up. That's what they said.
Wow. So, wow.
I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's only 3 days from now, folks. Okay, well, anybody that hasn't done any preparing, you better get on it right now. But I have done a little bit over the years, so I'm prepared a little bit, Doug. I know a lot of people aren't. When this thing collapses, they're going to be part of the chaos that provides them with the mechanism to bring in the new system. And that is, of course, what they're going to play on, is chaos in society. Go ahead. Yeah,
the problem is, if this thing goes off on its own, there won't be any new system to bring in because the old system won't be there. See, they're looking to piggyback it onto the old system. And without that old system there, they're toast. They can't do anything. They want to have a controlled demolition like they did in 9/11. Remember how those buildings fell straight into their own footprint? And then 8 hours later, they dropped, dropped Building 7. And they did. They dropped Building 7 directly into its own controlled demolition.
Oh, that was some fires. Doug, the media NIST report said that was from fires. They wouldn't lie to you. Come on.
They're looking to do the same thing with the financial system, controlled demolition, so they can control it so that they can bring just enough chaos to cause people to go scrambling and, please, please help us, please, please help us, please save us. Okay, here are your chains. Put them on. We'll save you.
Yeah. Yeah, the word they used was, Steve just said, was pull it. And they pulled Building 7. And that, to me, is the biggest smoking gun on 9/11, but we won't talk about 9/11.
No.
Commenting on what Steve said there, that they came out and said, yeah, we're going to pull it. And they pulled it all right. And she fell into her own footprint in 7.5 seconds at free fall speed. All 40 columns were compromised at the same time by a little pocket of fire burning on the 28th and the 32nd floor. I think that's what it was. But anyways, 9/11, you know, and I know, is the biggest joke. It's the biggest lie ever told. The problem is that nobody's been held accountable yet, Doug. Until that happens, that wound will never heal.
And the same thing with John F. Kennedy's assassination.
Exactly.
And blaming the guy up in the book tower when he would need a magic bullet. The magic bullet would need to stop in midair and turn around and come back into his face. How in the heck does that?
That happens all the time. Don't you have that gun?
No, God. but you know what I'm saying. So I mean, if people only apply common sense and stop and turn off the TV, stop reading the newspapers. And apply common sense to what they're telling you, it's going to freak them out. Oh my God, he's right, common sense, oh no. But if you don't wake up, you're going to be part of the fodder, and you're just going to be part of the cannon fodder. And they don't care.
They don't care if they kill 3,000 or 300,000 of us, Doug, whatever it takes to perpetrate. They don't care. It's all numbers to them. Whatever it takes to achieve the end game, they're down. And just watch what these guys do here in the next little while, because their backs are up against the wall now. People are starting to get aware of what's going on. They're going to come out swinging, Doug. Well, they really are.
And they're useful idiots, these pollies that they put in front of the camera. They're getting scared themselves. And, you know what happens to useful idiots? They become useless eaters and replaced. And we saw that in Africa over three countries over there. Three presidents who said no vaccines in my country all of a sudden died. Well, wow, how cool is that? Under unusual circumstances.
Coincidence.
Just quinky dinks.
Of course.
Quinky dinks.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, event 201 ended in January of 2020, and a month and a half later, oh, look at that. Oh, it's a coronavirus. Oh, no. And they knew right out the bat. I think it was event 201. It went live. You know, they were doing it in a boardroom for a little while, and then they took it live. And here we have event 201, and here you and I sit with Steve talking about the magic virus and how these wonderful vaccines are going to save the world.
Well, of course they are. I mean, that's the answer, man. I mean, Trudeau came out and said that as soon as this thing showed up. He says, you know, society's never going to go back to normal until we get people vaccinated. He said that 2 months into this pandemic, they were working on this so-called vaccine. I'll call it vaccine because that's what people relate to it. It's not a vaccine, but we'll call it that just for the time being. But they were working on this years before this thing was announced to the public.
Yep.
I mean, just read. I've read two chapters now. I've read a little bit of one chapter and a little bit of another chapter of The Great Reset by COVID-19 with Klaus Schwab. I know Steve was reading that book. I don't know if he's finished it or not. I'm going to make a point of finishing it, but it really kind of explains to people exactly how they're using this and where they're going forward with it. We'll see variant after variant, and you think this little reprieve we have right now where people are allowed to walk around without a mask on, that's just a perception of freedom, Doug. They're going to come back hard real soon. And the lockdowns will be even more draconian because the next variant will be more deadly. Like you said, they don't get deadlier, they get weaker, but they're lying out both sides of their face. We know that. We got to get that information out to the public. Go ahead.
Have you seen Dr. Martin's videos, either you or Steve? Have you guys seen those yet?
I honestly think I watched one of them. I've been watching so many doctors here talk in the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks since I got back, that I'm not sure if I saw him or not, but I think I have. But go ahead. Tell us about it.
Well, and the reason I bring this up is because this gentleman actually, and I call him a gentleman because he truly is. He has a little bow tie on, and he looks kind of like a, and he's bald.
Like Poindexter, right?
Yeah, but here's...
Yeah, okay, I know who you're talking about. I did watch him. I did hear him. Go ahead.
And he went through 4,000 patents. 4,000 patents. To figure out what was going on over 20 years. So it's not like this researcher hasn't done his research. I'm actually putting the link to this in your chat for you about what's going on with the virus and how they have patented a lot of the information back in 2003, 2002, et cetera, et cetera. And they had, I think it's either 73 or 76 patents that they ran for the mRNA between 2008 and 2017. 76 patents. Hmm. And now they've come up with the vaccines. And they say, it's a novel coronavirus. Well, it can't be a novel coronavirus if you've got 76 patents on it. What makes it novel then? It's crazy. Hmm.
No, not at all. I don't mind. I don't blame you for getting frustrated. I was just saying, I'm sharing that link in the chat rooms right now. Yeah. So when people get a chance, they can have a look at it later.
I'm going to give you this other one. This other one he did in May. And this is amazing because he actually tells you who the people are behind it all in this one. And it's not who you think it is. So I'm not going to give that one away to the audience. Got to watch the video to find out who's actually behind all this.
The man behind the curtain, that guy.
Well, and I'll tell you this: it's not the bankers.
Well, that would have been my first guess.
Yeah,
but then we got to look at who controls. Then we got to look at who controls the bankers.
Exactly.
That's a really deep rabbit hole.
Well, and he actually lays it out beautifully for you. It's a very good, and most people have missed that one. I've talked to a lot of people about, have you seen Doc Martin's videos? But he actually proves that there is no SARS-CoV-2. Actual proof. And Reimer-Fulmic now has the package, and this is why they're getting so scared. This is why in Alberta, I believe that the government is going, okay, we're downgrading it to a flu. Nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing to see here. Have fun. Go out and enjoy the Calgary Stampede. Okay, nothing to see here. I think they're getting scared.
Well, I'll see if I can get Annie to play those on Shake and Wake when the show's over. Maybe sometime this week she can play those. Because okay. I know the one I did see it, and it's very, very good. So in chat there, guys, have a look at these videos. And Annie, have a look at them. And if you like it, we can play it this week on Shake and Wake. That'd be good. That'd be great.
Cool. Yeah, did you see Astrid Stuckelberger's stuff?
I believe I have. That name rings a bell.
She's the,
I can't retain information like you do, but I believe I have. Go ahead.
She's the one that did the she was inside Gavi at the WHO, and she exposed the fraud of what's going on there.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
She's from Switzerland.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, I'll put a link.
Well, you're going to have to put that in there. I'll have to do some homework here.
I'll grab you the link right now. So you can see I've been busy, eh?
Well, you have. You don't, you don't spend a lot of time doing other things, Doug. I see that. So we're going to have to get you out here. And we're going to have to take you fishing. And the deal is, if we do go fishing for a day, we can't talk politics for at least the first 2 hours, okay?
How about we don't talk politics at all?
Okay, that's even better. What are we going to talk about?
Life, the universe, and everything.
We'll talk about the fish that are coming into the boat and the seagulls and the eagles and the orcas and the dolphins and everything else I see when I'm out there. I love the ocean so much.
I just love to sit in there and be quiet and watch and hear. And it's just gorgeous. I come from where you come from, Terrace. I grew up in Indian Arm up in North Vancouver, but up the Arm.
And so you were on the ocean, good part of your life then.
Yeah. All my life. I got a boat when other kids got a 10-speed bike.
There's nothing, Doug, I'm telling you, there's nothing nicer than being out on the ocean on a day where it's flat calm, a sunny day, lots of activity around you, the fish are biting. That, to me, that's heaven on earth, man. And anytime you get up here, I told you, I got a boat take you out on a 26-footer. We can go fishing anytime you want.
Cool.
So you get up here, and you don't even have to put in money for gas. Doug, how's that?
Cool.
And we'll even bring in the fish in for you if you have a problem.
Okay. Okay. I need to find the time, but yes, I was hoping to get out there earlier this month, but then other things came up in my life, and I was unable to cut the time out for that. I'm sorry.
You know, the most incredible time to come up here, believe it or not, is the end of June when the pinks are running in the river.
Okay.
The reason that is, we have a little spot on the Skeena, and I've done this twice with people now. There's a recession in the Skeena River, just out by Port Ezra, out by Port Edward. And what happens? The river goes along at 30 feet, then all of a sudden it drops down to about 60 or 70 feet for about 250 feet, and it comes back up again. Well, what happens when the pinks are floating down the river after they've done their spawning? The big halibut sit in that hole, and they just sit there for days feasting on the pink. So if you drop a line down in that hole at that particular time of year, you're going to hook a 250, 300-pound halibut.
Oh, my God. It'd eat me for dinner.
I've brought one up that was 250-plus, took a picture of her, and let her go. But guaranteed, you drop a line in that hole at that particular time when the pinks are running, and you're going to land the big, big halibut, because they show up there every year, the same time, same place, because it is a smorgasbord of pink salmon floating down the river for them to eat. Anyway, so much for fishing. You're going to have to come out. I've been fishing the ocean up here for years, so I know lots of places and lots of great spots. And I've got so many stories that literally, if we go fishing one day, Doug, it'll just be fish stories all day long. And of course, well, they're all true, of course. You know, fishermen don't tell
absolutely.
Lies.
Absolutely.
Never. No, they're the most honest people in the whole world, Doug.
Right next
to politicians.
I was just going to say, right next to politicians.
Anyways, I look forward to that, buddy, because I know we'd have a good day. So try and do that. I know the mushrooms are about to start up here. I know that it's shaping up here, Doug, to be a phenomenal pine season, because we're getting the same kind of weather where we're getting rain, and then we're getting sunshine, we're getting rain, we're getting sunshine. The moss in the forest is getting lots of rain now. It's starting to – the mycelium will be starting to get active here pretty quick, and I'll be able to go pick pine mushrooms. So if you get up here anytime in the next couple of months, we can go fishing one day, and we'll go picking mushrooms the next.
Cool.
And you'll have a good time. But anyways, all that being said, Doug, it's always good having you in. We got about 2 minutes left here. I want you to share with people where they can find you, what you're up to, and where they can follow you, and a few closing thoughts from you, and I'll have to let you go, my friend.
Okay. Well, as people know, Doug Force is from The Myth Is Canada. I'm easy to find. I'm at themythiscanada.com or .ca. I've now been working for the last 3.5 months with Wayne Peters at What's Up Canada. We've created something called Ethics Over Fear, and you can find that on the internet at ethicsoverfear.com. And on the What's Up Canada Rumble channel is where the doctor talks are. And I suggest people go to Rumble, type in What's Up Canada, and it will take you to those doctor talks. They are amazing. If you have family or friends that are sitting on the fence because they're not certain of whether to take the vaccine or not, have them watch some of these videos, and I guarantee you no vaccine will ever pass into their arms.
They will be on the one side of the fence for sure. That'll be it. No, well, they're great videos. Go ahead.
And it's wonderful. And now we've moved ethics over fear to bring in Lawyers for Truth, and we'll be starting working with them. We're doing a big roundtable on Wednesday night with two of those lawyers and myself, Vlad Sovalev from Hugs Over Mass, and Wayne Peters, and at 7 o'clock Sunday night Mountain Time, because we're here in Alberta. And it's well worth people tuning in. We'll put the advertisements up today across Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Or not YouTube. Twitter, Gab. Oh, God, there's so many now.
Well, send them all to my page that you can, Doug, and I'll share them far and wide for you.
Cool, man. That's been my – and I was giving Pat King a bit of help in what he was doing as well, so –
I applaud everything you're doing, Doug. Canada needs a whole bunch more people like you and Wayne and Pat and Chris Guy and everybody else that's really going to bat right now trying to save our country. And all I can say is thanks for everything you're doing, my friend.
Well, thank you for what you're doing too, Barry. Don't think that your stuff isn't important, because it is.
Well, if I can get you in and share this information with people, then I've done my job for the day. Thanks again for joining me, Doug. Always good. And we'll have you back real soon if you'll oblige me.
Absolutely. You know my number.
I got you, Batman. I'll be calling you soon. Okay, folks, I'm going to give a couple-minute break here, and I'll be back with Jürgen Wallrath here in about 5 minutes. Hang around. Jürgen is awesome, and he's got lots to talk about today.
Really hot looking?
Every Monday night.
time to tell you, freaking idiot. Don't make me come up here again.
Well, welcome back, third hour, and thanks to Doug for coming in. Always enjoy talking with Doug. It seems to be a fountain of information. I love people getting people on that can retain information better than this old brain can, and he can sure do that. So thanks again to Doug for coming in. And I always save the best for last. I shouldn't say that because it'll go right to his head. But always love talking with Jürgen Vollrath. Jürgen's been kind enough to join me here for a conversation for an hour. I haven't chatted with Jürgen since I left for the bush. So it's been probably 2.5 months or 3 months now since we talked. Jürgen, welcome back to the Big Puzzle, my friend.
Well, I'm so glad to be back at the Big Puzzle with my old friend Barry Prince. We can, you know, Barry, you and I go back a long ways in having discussions about where we're at today. We talked about this mess we're in. We weren't specific about it, but I think I recall about 5 years ago we were talking about where we were headed. And look where we are today. We were conspiracy theorists, but we're realists, right?
Well, yeah, we ran all kinds of different scenarios across the people years ago, Jürgen, where they could go with this and how they were going to bring society to their knees. And I know we talked about medical tyranny as probably the number one weapon they would use against society. And what do we see now? Absolute, unbelievable medical tyranny unfolding in our society. Blatant violations of Nuremberg codes, fatal violations of the Geneva Convention, our Charter of Rights are all being stomped on because of some phony, doesn't exist, killer virus that's just knocking people. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, people are just dropping dead on the streets, Jürgen. It must be happening up there, too. The hospitals are just full. They can't even get near the hospital now because the doors are full. It's that bad. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Go ahead.
Planes are dropping out of the sky. I don't know about you, but every day I look up watching planes drop out of the sky with people dropping dead. It's just incredible.
Say, Jürgen?
It is.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Say, Jürgen?
How can anybody carry on with this nonsense, seeing what they've seen in the last year and a half, almost 2 years coming up?
Can you get closer to your mic, Jürgen?
Complete insanity.
Can you get closer to the mic, please?
Okay.
Jürgen, they need you to get closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay.
How's that? Is that better? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, that sounds fine to me, Steve. Sounds fine over there.
It needs a little more, but it's okay.
A little more? Here. I'm not sure what to do here, because how's that?
Well, it sounds fine to me. I'm sure that if they can't hear you in chat, they'll let me know. But I'll message over there and see how it sounds. But it sounds fine to me.
I just turned the volume up a little more.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. That were you able to find that little song you did? And did you get a chance to send that to Steve? Because if you can, Jürgen did a little video here, a little song here. I don't know, about 2 weeks ago you released that, Jürgen, and I listened to it a couple times, and it's quite funny. So I'm going to see if I can play it today, guys, on the show. We'll see if we can work on that in the next few minutes. If we can get to Steve, we'll be able to play it.
I'm going to see if I can find it. It's getting some traction. I got a lot of people loving it. They can't wait for a video to come out. So that's why I've been planning on this. It's funny. The song came to me. Like, it was just something that I had to do. I'm a rocker from way back, and I've recorded rock and roll songs in the past, and I've been a lead singer in rock bands and duets. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I'd be writing a rap song. I'll tell you, it just came to me. Over a couple of weeks, and I was forced to find this. I was forced to do this. Honestly, I had to do it. I couldn't sleep.
Well, you know, they say humor is the best medicine, Jürgen. Yeah. And making people laugh at the insanity of the situation we're in right now, it seems to impact people. I said I've been trying to share it, but I can't. So we got to work on that. You got to get into a format where I can put it out and share it with people, because people got to hear that, man. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I've got somebody working on a different format. So hopefully that can happen fairly soon. And when we do, I'll get back on with you, and we can talk about it some more. Because I want this thing to take off. I'm really hoping it'll take off. Upside down crazy town.
I think it's a great tune, and I'm hoping it does take off.
Well, you did that one video. You got did that one video on the back of a pickup truck, and how many views did you see? We see on that, Jürgen. I think it was like 500,000.
Yeah, the last time I looked, it was over 700,000 with over 1.5 million people that had actually seen it. So yeah, it was, it's pretty crazy.
Well, we are in crazy times, Jürgen, and I didn't think I'd see things go quite as quickly as I see them going right now, but in the same mouthful, I think they're starting to run really scared, and I think they're really going to ramp it up in the next couple, 3 months here. We thought it was bad before. I think we're about to see the enclave of it all coming down on us because they're losing right now. They're losing the information battle. I know a lot of people are starting to become aware of what's going on around them. I've said it a couple times today that I'm starting to see a shift in society where it seems more people I talk to now are against the government and against this vaccine rollout and the masks than people I'm actually talking to. So I have seen a shift in society. I am starting to see people wake up. We need to really put the metal to the floor right now because we're in a lot of trouble, Jürgen, a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we are in a lot of trouble. And, you know, I was looking at something this morning there where was my wife and I trying to kind of connect the dots with this whole vaccine thing. And when you look at it, you know, that GlaxoSmithKline, a huge pharmaceutical company, owns the Wuhan lab, the biological lab.
Right.
Now, they also, just ironically, right, they own Pfizer as well. Now, we know that Fauci funded the Wuhan lab. We know that GlaxoSmithKline owns the Wuhan lab, and they also own Pfizer. Now, what they do is, of course, Fauci promotes vaccines like crazy, along with Bill Gates, because they're heavily invested in these vaccine companies, right? So, there's another company here. GlaxoSmithKline also is managed by a financial division of a company called BlackRock. Now, BlackRock, it's funny how these all tie in because they manage the finances of George Soros's Open Foundation Group. So this BlackRock is kind of everywhere, right? They also manage the French AIA Group. Soros owns Winterthur, which is a company that actually built the Wuhan lab, which was bought by a German company called Allianz. And ironically enough, Vanguard is a shareholder who is itself a shareholder of BlackRock, which controls the central bank and manages one-third of all global investments. So BlackRock major shareholders of Microsoft, Bill Gates, you know, is a shareholder of Pfizer. I mean, how do you spin this? These people are all connected. All of this is connected. Right? Pfizer is the first sponsor, the first major sponsor of the World Health Organization. And we're supposed to believe that a dead bat did this. Right?
Out of a marketplace. In a marketplace. Yeah.
In a marketplace. You just got to follow the money and you can see where this comes from. Just follow the money.
It's one big giant party, buddy. It's one big giant party, and they're all involved. They all got a ticket to the big party, and they're just rolling it out on the human race like now. I've never seen this kind of tyranny in society. But we were, like I said, it's only going to get worse because people are starting to wake up here, Jürgen. They really are. And the more people push back, the more these guys are going to push the agenda forward. I mean, they've already named what the next 10 or 12 variants that are going to come out. And, of course, they're going to be more and more deadly than the last one, which is so far from the truth. Because like Doug pointed out in the last hour, that anytime you get a variant of a virus, it's always weaker than the original. And that's never changed in recorded history. But now all of a sudden, the variants are getting more and more deadly as time goes on. So come on, folks. All you have to do is look into it a little bit and you'll find out the lie is so big it's not even funny. But most people just still aren't doing that. It's just crazy that people are going along with this, Jürgen. They blow my mind. We're supposed to be intelligent creatures. We're supposed to be able to look at both sides of any conversation. Yet people blindly follow what CTV and Global are telling them every night. They drink the diarrhea and go to bed.
Yeah, and we can see that the masses are so easily controlled, and fear is the greatest tranquilizer and can be like hypnosis, right?
Fear is the virus, buddy.
Yeah, fear is the virus, and we have a society now that, you know, where sodomites are real, and actually a lot of sodomites are in control. most politicians are compromised now. Humanity has been fed a daily diet of lies. Eugenics has become a religion to some people, determined to reduce the population of the world, for sure. Elections all over the world have been manipulated. Now, we probably have been having that for generations. Anyone with a brain can look back and think, how did that person get reelected, right? I think in terms of Ontario, I think of Kathleen Wynne, the hatred that was there for that woman, and she kept getting reelected. It just never made any sense to any of us. You know, so now we have those elections all over the world have been manipulated for generations probably, right? Now we learn that an mRNA injection is not a vaccine. We also know that therapeutics work. The more we listen to real doctors, the more we find out that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, these are all positive drugs that help in the early stages to kick the damn virus. But then again, nobody talks about that. They don't talk about vitamins. They don't talk about diet or exercise, only vaccines.
So 24/7.
24/7. And the fact checkers are paid by the liars to enforce the false narrative. So what we've got is misinformation being rampant, and those that are spreading the misinformation keep calling all the people who are talking about the reality conspiracy theorists. So we're living in this trap of a nightmare. Like you said, it's just we're spinning around where the liars are the fact checkers telling people that the truth tellers are conspiracy theorists. And for how many years have we been called the conspiracy theorists? And every conspiracy theory I've ever been called on about has come true.
Absolutely. But hey, the good news is, Jürgen, get a load of this. McDonald's, if you get your vaccine at McDonald's now, you get a Big Mac and a large fries and a strawberry milkshake.
Say it, Barry.
Did you know that?
Barry.
Wow. Yes, Steve.
I have the song.
Okay, can you let's play that.
It's Steve, called.
You have the song, mind. Right on. Okay, good.
Yeah, well, listen, folks, we're going to play this song that Jürgen sang, and I found it pretty funny. So let's take a break for a couple minutes and listen to this.
Right on. It's 4 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be back in 4 minutes then.
It took a world full of potential, only some are now essential, turning one against another. No more father, no more mother. Choices are obliterated, factories are eliminated, children going hungry, bankers making money. Stop it! We got to keep connecting the youngest with the old, cause the oldest fought for freedoms that are never to be sold. Deceivers throw out wisdom that comes from who knows where. Up is down and down is up as long as they got good hair. The wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. We only have two genders, and climate always changes, but social engineers establish wider ranges. Pronouns are offensive, while truth is on defensive. Drag queens are progressive, conservatives oppressive. Since when exerting social pressure, while forcing certain measures? Look and see, mask or no, as we watch divisions grow. Black and white are made to fight. Who determines what is right? The truth is so elusive, do people even care? It doesn't seem to matter as long as they got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Crazy town. From Germany to Calgary and all around the globe, as the times they are a-changing, we have to be more bold. The picture is unfolding as most just look away, while others see what's coming. Some gather as they pray, singing hallelujah. For we must be relentless, and comfort we will find when we hear the answers to ease our troubled minds. We must not be so blinded by those with crooked smiles, but look beyond the image, the fashion, and the style. Look towards what lies within, that matters if you dare. Most people are oblivious as long as they got good hair. As long as they look, it doesn't matter what you say. Fluoride stares and no one cares as they all gaze away. Illusions are created, it happens all the time, by liars and deceivers. in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Crazy town, crazy town. From Medicine Hat to Italy, lockdowns are a tragedy. Experts claim to know the score, but money opens up their door. Therapeutics were denied and kids committing suicide. Phony stories circled round dead people laying on the ground. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now we must face adversity and battle to infinity. And wars are always hard to fight to establish what is right. Seek out the injustice that stares you in the face. Or you can say sayonara to the human race. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. The numbers, they were phony, and all the tests were fake. And lots of people really died with miserable heartache. We have to stop relying on those who are selected. Let the lion roar within you. Let those liars be rejected. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Upside down crazy town. Upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town.
Well, there you go, folks. If you get a chance, maybe you can share that song around, because I listened to it, I laughed pretty hard, and we do need a little humor in our world right now. If we don't laugh, we're all going to go insane. So thanks for what you're doing, Jürgen. Playing in here, but I'm sure the audience will go into chat there. I'm sure people appreciated what you're doing. Go ahead.
You know, you got to try and get the message out there however you can. And my entire life, I've been... The radio show that I had and podcasts that I had back east and the speeches that I've given over the course of my lifetime, the amount of whistleblowers that I interviewed when I was with Canadians for Language Fairness and with the Human Rights Institute of Canada, a vast amount of knowledge I gained by listening to those people and the heartfelt stories of Canadians who couldn't advance in their careers in our federal government. It created one heck of a resolve for me, and I'm very proud to state that my work now in Alberta has come to fruition because I have the Maverick Party going to declare English as the official language of Alberta, and I also have the Wild Rose Independent Party on their platform stating that English is going to be the language of Alberta. So I'm very proud of that accomplishment. Both parties have that on their platform, that English, they're going to protect the English language and the English culture, like Quebec did.
Well, that's a step in the right direction, my friend, because we see it under attack in the rest of the country. Go ahead.
That was part of my work when I came out to Alberta, Barry. That was the first thing that I did, was contacted as many politicians as I could in this province to instill in them the notion that it's time that Westerners value their culture and language like the Quebecers do in our country. It is time that we stand up for it. Because right now, the way the situation is in this country, the only language and culture that's protected is the language and culture of the province of Quebec. The rest of Canada has been given up to the United Nations. And everybody better beware of that. That's where we're at. And that's why I think it's such a tremendous accomplishment to get that done, because for years I've been trying to get federal politicians to treat English-speaking Canadians more fair in the hiring policies of our own federal government. It's a disgrace what they've done in this country.
They have made it a mess in Ottawa, buddy, but it's all certain denominations of certain groups that are now running our country, and people aren't aware of who is running the country, you know, and their backgrounds and their ties to groups like, well, let's see, the Muslim Brotherhood of North America. Boy, I'll tell you, where do you think they're going to take this country, Jürgen? Most people just don't seem to care that we have how many radicals now in our actual government in positions of very great power, i.e. our immigration minister. Boy, sure. I tell you, you know, how many Somalians is he bringing into our country? I'm not racist. I'm not prejudiced, but I'll call a spade, Jürgen. And history tells us, this isn't me, but history will tell you that anywhere that that particular group goes in the world, nothing but trouble and hell follows them. Okay. And this is our immigration minister, folks. And where do you think his allegiances and loyalties are going to be? And what is he going to try to bring into this country? Yeah. Of course. And, you know, this is our culture is being destroyed. I mean, Trudeau came out and said here, and this was in black and white, that he is now counting on the immigration vote to win the next federal election, folks. Yeah. And that's just what he's been able to do in the last 5 years, the amount of immigrants that are coming into the country. It's not just the legals, it's the illegals. And it's the people coming in on work programs and student exchange programs that never leave the country. We're bringing in over 1 million people a year, and they all coming from pretty well one geographical denomination in the world. Am I correct in saying that, Jürgen?
I think you are correct. But there's right now, I spoke to a source that I have working in the immigration department. Right now, the largest group of people that are coming in are from India. And they're mostly radical groups that hold certain allegiances to a certain political bias that is shown by the leader of the NDP party.
Yes, Jagmeet Singh, of course.
Right. So right now, that's our biggest threat. Because I asked him, I said, what's going on with Roxham Road? What's going on with people coming over from Somalia? And he said, that's not the biggest worry right now. The biggest worry right now is that the ones coming in from India. So
radical.
That was the latest word I got about 3-4 weeks ago from my buddy at immigration.
These people have no good intentions for us. People.
No, Barry, not, when you look at it.
They'll never assimilate. Well, they'll never, Jürgen, for one, they'll never assimilate to our culture. So you're absolutely planting seeds of destruction in our own culture, and they're coming in by the thousands. Go ahead.
And that was through the multicultural program started by Pierre Trudeau. When he denied us the opportunity to have a bicultural country, which would include French and English, which again was a tool of division by Trudeau when he passed the Official Languages Act, when he passed the Charter Limited Rights and Restricted Freedoms, Freedoms that are given by government. And I still to this day, I hear all kinds of people always talking about the Charter and we're supposed to protect the Charter. I wish people would get off of that. I really do. The Charter is one of the most insidious pieces of paper ever laid on the people of this country. It's a document where the province of Quebec can write from the initiation of that document can say, you know what, we don't agree with that part of it and that part of it. We're going to stand out of it and create our own country. And yet Canadians will go, oh, my gosh, that goes against our Charter. The Charter is a freaking joke. We were just fine with British common law, and we were just fine with our Bill of Rights. We were just fine with what we had going on. We didn't need Trudeau to come along and give us a Soviet Union-style charter where rights are given to us by government, not by God, because our rights are given to us by God.
Yeah, well, he laid the seeds, and look what Justin's doing with it now, man. He is really taking the ball and ran with it. Boy, oh boy.
He certainly has ramped it up for sure. I mean, when you look at it, you know, the last 50 years of communism, we've been sliding into it so slowly. Every little program that came along, my wife and I would look at each other and go, there we go, another slide down that slippery slope from socialism to communism. It starts with socialism. It starts with, hey, we've got to just help those poor, lowly people. Then those poor, lowly people decide, hey, you know what? This is a gravy train. Let's get some poor, lonely people to join us because all those other fools are just going to continue to pay us. The distribution of wealth, the redistribution of wealth has never been more clearly seen than what we see with this pandemic. Everything goes to the essentials. All the non-essentials are now broke. Small family businesses are gone. The middle class is getting crushed, which is exactly what they want to do. Family values are getting trampled on with this notion of 87 genders, all of it. The whole nine yards, it's all coming to a head. But you know what? I still think that the forces of good will rise up and crush this nonsense. I have to believe that, otherwise I'd go insane, Barry.
I agree. I'm going to stay positive, okay? even though every day I go, hey, wait a second, we really got ourselves some big, big problems here, and they're getting worse by the day, that I still believe that that blood of our grandfathers will start to course through the veins of Canadians, and they'll realize that we're literally looking at losing everything that we value, everything that we consider precious in life is on the verge of being taken away from us. And if we could get Canadians to understand that, really understand the danger our country's in and the threat it represents to their children, Jürgen, we would see the rise. But we're up against the mainstream and the power of the mainstream and how it controls people, how people are so brainwashed in our society. That is the biggest task that we have right now, is learning to unlearn so much of the population that it, like I said, that's a monumental task. But I am seeing, like I said a few minutes ago, I'm starting to see a shift in society where more and more people are starting to engage in conversations with me, in general conversations, and they all feel the same way, that something's really, really messed up in Ottawa.
Yeah, something has been messed up for a long time in Ottawa. That's for sure, and that's what most Canadians don't even realize. And I found that out when I came out west, when I moved out here, going across the country, asking people, what do you know about M103, Motion 103, the motion that was going to take our freedom of speech away? And every Canadian I asked that question to didn't know what it was. And every Canadian I asked that question to didn't even ask me what it was.
And of course, it was brought forward by an MP that's direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. But most people don't understand that and what they represent in organizations like CARE. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, exactly right. And you look at, you just said it earlier. We have double agents like crazy in the halls of power in our caucuses, right? I mean, we've got, how many people in the caucus of the Liberal government have dual citizenship? And where do their true allegiances lie? Do they lie in this country? No, they don't. They lie with their original country.
That alone should be outright against the law in Canada.
Absolutely right.
But they changed that for a reason. You know that, Jürgen.
Yep.
It's all part of the agenda, right? Of course it is. Well, Trudeau signed us on to the mass immigration agreements of the United Nations. So, come on, folks. Are you going to allow that to happen in our country? You allow a million people to come in every year? They're bankrupting our health systems. They're bankrupting everything in our country right now. Is going to go down the tubes. And well, maybe it's going to take some more drastic changes in our society before people wake up. I don't know. I don't have the answer anymore.
People have to start. I bang my
head against the wall every day trying to get getting people sometimes to listen to what's going on. It's just like sometimes you're talking to deaf ears. I've kind of come to the point now where people that just don't want to hear it, don't understand, and don't want to pay attention, I'm just not giving them my time anymore, because I find it very counterproductive, and there's people out there that do want to start talking now. So I'll focus my time on those people.
Yeah. It's amazing how a lot of Canadians embrace communism while you've got Cubans now wanting freedom, right?
Well, because they don't understand really what communism is. All they see is the pretty picture being painted on TV and by our politicians, and the way they're going with these CERB programs and guaranteed income supplements and guaranteed income now programs they want to bring in. It's all pushing people to a giant, giant nanny state. And we're not too far away from that right now. If they collapse the dollar, then we're really going to have a problem, Jürgen. And I think that's the next thing that will happen, myself.
Well, yeah, I think we're seeing a shift in the whole financial game. It's all changing, going to digital, gold back. It's all going to change. I see the whole fiat system crashing down sooner than later because you just keep printing freaking money. How long can you just keep printing money based on nothing? Right, you just can't do it. You can't do it. They've been doing it.
Well, any country that does that, Jürgen, knows that eventually it's going to collapse. It cannot sustain itself. It's designed to collapse. It's just the moment of when they want to do that. And boy, you talk about chaos in society. We've talked about that many times. The impact that would have on society overnight, when all of a sudden people wake up and they're telling you on TV that your dollar isn't worth a pinch of coon anymore. And that the government's bringing in a new system. Don't worry about it, though. We've got it all under control. How many people would just gobble that up, man? Because you put fear into people's hearts. You put that into their brains, and it just throws them for a loop. They don't think. They'll never think straight. when they're in a state of fear. And that's, of course, the biggest weapon the government uses against us.
Yeah, post-national Canada is now clear, right? I mean...
Well, he told us that. He said that was coming.
He told us, is this a post-national state? We're no longer a country. And I still put the question out there to most Canadians, do you understand what role Canada plays in the nation of Quebec? Because the nation of Quebec has infiltrated the halls of power of the federal government of the country of Canada to the point where I'm calling Ontario and Quebec Laurentianville, because they're hooked together like an umbilical cord and they will always vote Liberal. But Toronto and Montreal, the big centers, they were always going to vote left, always. And so the West is always going to be screwed, always.
Thus the seeds of separation, Jürgen.
Yeah, absolutely right. I went to a great Wild Rose meeting there a couple of weeks ago. We had Paul Hyman here. Drew Barnes showed up. It was a great meeting. There's obviously a lot of concern about what's going on in this country. And there's a lot of thirst for an independent Alberta right now.
Here, are you not involved in a political party now? In the leadership?
I was asked to be on the local riding association for the Maverick Party, which is the federal, right. Which is the federal party, right? Federal separation party. And I declined that because I want to spend more time with my grandkids. I don't have time for that. I'm going to do my thing by writing songs and giving speeches and doing whatever I can there.
Okay, cool. Well, I don't blame it. Grandchildren are very precious and the greatest thing in life right now for you.
It brings me so much joy. It's all I want.
And it's the reason we fight every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got five. I remember when I was growing up, Jürgen, I used to say grandparents. Well, I thought that was like one foot in the grave. You know, that was the end of life. But here I am now, and I've got five of them. And they, of course, bring great joy in my life. So it's why we fight every day. We realize what's coming for them and what we're going to lose if we don't stop this insanity. But I'll stay on the positive part of it, Jürgen. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to maintain that Canadians will finally get it together and stand in a unified voice and put a stop to this, because that's all it would take, man, is us to stand up to it, and they'd go away overnight. All this would come to an end. But we're not there yet, Jürgen, but I hope we get there real soon, because this is getting insane. Tell you, buddy, if they come to my house and try and stick a needle in my arm, I don't think they'll be on this planet. Well, it's not going to happen, because if that does happen and they try and forcefully put a vaccine in my body, it will probably be the day that I book out of here. As a matter of fact, I know it'll be the day I book out of here. So I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to go there. It's not going to get to that point. But if it does, what else are you going to do at that point? I'm not going to allow them to stick that in my body, period.
Yeah, same here.
Period. So I'm sure they're listening to this conversation right now. As a matter of fact, I know they are. Anything that we do or say on the internet now is being monitored by the other guys on the other side there. So hopefully we've made some sense today with them. Maybe they can start looking at things in a little different light. Maybe they'll understand that they're just pawns being played, but they're just up the rung of the ladder a couple more rungs than we are. When the time comes, they'll be disposed of just like you and me, Jürgen. If we could get them through to them, maybe we'd see some of the members of mainstream getting involved in the right side of things instead of being what they are right now. Mouthpieces for the government.
Exactly right. And the marriage of government and corporation is never more clear. We're certainly living under a fascism kind of a thing where we're allowing these big box stores to carry on, make lots of money, while we decimate the middle class. And you know, we should take heed. The greatest threat Canada has ever seen is what we're facing right now. And like you said, what's it going to take for these people to get off the couch? Is it for someone to take their couch and make sure they don't have a piece of bread in the morning? Then maybe they'll get out into the streets and say, where's my piece of bread?
Yeah, it's going to be a little late, folks.
Well, that's it. That's the problem, isn't it?
The time has come and gone by then, Jürgen, so we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to stay positive. We're going to hope that even, you know, that enough voices are starting to rise. And I am starting to see lots of groups rise in Canada, new groups coming up. I was talking about one 300K there. Carrie Simpson, she's involved with that. She's in Albertan. What they're doing right now, I applaud them. Of course, the Myth of Canada and Wayne Peters, what he's doing right now, the doctors he's bringing forward, the information that's available on his website right now. I'm surprised they haven't come and somehow taken that down because, like we said in the last hour there, if people go listen to the doctors that Wayne had in and listen to what they're saying about this, you would never even consider in your lifetime sticking a needle in your arm. Unfortunately, none of that gets put out on mainstream. That's a travesty in our society, Jurgen. It really is.
It is, for sure. And one of the biggest problems we have, of course, in the Patriot movement is this division of the Patriots on the right. Because we are not kumbaya on the left, because we are all individuals, you have a situation now where Pat King has gone to court, right? I'm sure you've heard about that situation.
Yep.
And then you've got Mark Friesen saying that that's not legitimate. And I don't know, because some of these freedom fighters that fall into a political party and all of a sudden they're
condemning other freedom fighters.
They're just politicians. They're not freedom fighters anymore, but they claim to be.
Yeah, I see that. I see so much division inside the movement. It's by design, of course, Jurgen. The people that are dividing us, they've got the game plan and they know the buttons to push to cause the divisions. And we see the effect of that. We've got to kind of sit down as responsible adults and say, hey, look, you're not going to push my buttons. That we've got to remain focused on the end game, not the little deviations. Who cares if you've got more watchers than I do? Maybe your opinion on this is a little different than mine. We've got to focus on the end game. And I see this division, it's kind of sad to see, but at least we're talking about it and people can realize that, they are dividing us by design, that they have all kinds of ways they can push our buttons. And we can't allow them to do that, man.
No, we can't. And we can't allow people to forget history either. And I'd like to remind people that, if you're putting your faith in the government for this pandemic, you're sadly mistaken. Because the government is not your friend. When this whole thing started, my wife, who, as you know, Barry, is a victim of the tainted blood scandal, the first thing she said to me is, they tried to kill me once, I'm not giving them the chance to do it again. That was one of the most profound statements I've ever heard in my life, because my wife and I went through hell trying to find out how she got poisoned in that tainted blood scandal. When we found out the government did it, I mean, how else are you going to burst your dream of a sane society when you have a government that's willing to kill its own people?
Well, we could say the same thing about 9/11. The people in charge are psychopaths. They don't care about us. It's all numbers. Right. Whatever it takes to achieve the end game is on the table, man.
That's right. So stop putting blind faith in these freaking people that are selected.
We don't elect
any of them. They're selected to run over us.
They will. Funny, Jurgen, I had a conversation this week with the guys. I call them the guys. Now, listen, I got to tell you about this real quick. Okay. They're all going, we got our vaccines. We believe what the government's doing and blah, blah, blah. Then the conversation changed to something that Trudeau was doing. And two of them comes out going, well, if we don't get that guy out of here, he's going to destroy this country. And I turned and I said, just exactly, they're aware that, that there's some nefarious things going on with Trudeau, but they completely believe his health minister, Theresa Tan, people like Bonnie Henry. But anyways, it sure gave me a chance for a little bit of a reprieve and a little bit of a response to what they just said. And of course, I hit them with a couple comments and their jaws kind of, did you see all of a sudden, maybe. The light bulb came on in their heads. It might have just them saying that to me after supporting the medical health officer's recommendations for vaccines and telling me that I should go get my vaccine, that they come out with a statement that if we don't stop this, Trudeau is going to destroy the country. Well, it just goes to show you, I don't know how to explain it, blind ignorance to certain aspects of things going on in our society. Well, guys, if Trudeau is behind all this other stuff that's going on bad in our country, what do you think he's doing with COVID-19, this so-called pandemic? It just, it might have turned on a couple light bulbs, because it was ironic that they said that after being supportive of this vaccine to stop this killer virus that doesn't exist and hasn't been isolated. Jeez. It's a joke. It's just a joke. It really is. I looked at the numbers for the last 10 years. I tell people to do this. You can go look at the numbers for the last 10 years in Canada. Sure. And you won't see any difference between 2019 and 2020. Very, very marginal. Just the same kind of fluctuations we see every year. A couple thousand in each direction is the only fluctuation you'll see. No giant spike in people dropping dead. Trudeau came out. Remember when Trudeau came out, Jürgen? He said 50,000 Canadians minimum are going to die right now. And we must enact all these emergency measures. We're going to bring them in for a couple weeks to flatten the curve. No problem. We got this under control. That was, what, 18 months ago now. And what, how many people actually died in Canada? Huh. What a joke, man. But people can't take the time to go look at that, Jürgen. That's really sad. Because we're supposed to be intelligent people.
We know that the vaccine wasn't brought in for COVID. COVID was brought in for the vaccine.
Well, of course, they were working on it years before this happened. They were working on this. They planned this in 2000. Well, I think Fauci was involved in 2016 when he first, this was really kind of laid out where they were going with it in a couple of years. And then we know of his involvements and his funding and all the other charades that went on behind the scenes. And here we are today in the clutches of medical tyranny, man. When Quebec is talking passports to function in society. Yep. Show me your papers, old man. Show me your papers.
Yeah.
The mark of the beast, Jürgen. The mark of the beast.
Yeah. People still don't get it.
Well, they're pushing the RFID chip. Yeah, they're pushing the RFID chip. Now all they got to do is collapse the dollar, because when they do that, and I believe that's coming real soon, that when that happens, they will throw society into a complete state of chaos. Chaos in 24 hours, and all of a sudden, of course, the government being the savior will come along with the solution. Folks, don't worry about it. Go back to your living rooms, watch your TV, and embrace your steel-belted radial tires. Everything's fine. We got it under control. And like I said, a majority of the people that are freaking out at that point will embrace that and accept it. And that's where they're going. And then what? We have a cashless society. They'll be able to they will know when you go to the bathroom and how many pieces of toilet paper you use, Jürgen, and whether you paid your taxes on that toilet paper. That's where we're going.
Well, they're introducing something in the States, and maybe Steve can correct me on this.
But I saw what you're talking about.
They're going to charge you for mileage.
Yep.
They're going to tax you for mileage.
You're going to literally have to phone the government, apparently, on this bill, and I looked at it, it's draconian, but you're going to have to phone a government agent to get permission to start your vehicle up. And then you're monitored for every mile that you drive in that vehicle. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
I just love this, handing over all our freedoms. I love it.
But they're going to keep you safe, Jürgen. Come on, man.
Well, as long as we're safe, that's what counts, right? Gee whiz. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, you know, we're getting what? What's that bill called? C-36.
Yeah, the new one.
The anti-hate bill.
Yeah.
Right? So who's going to determine which hate is which speech is offensive? Who? Who's going to
sit on
the panel? Did you get the job?
No, the government's already got their guys already appointed.
Oh, the fact checkers.
They got to keep us safe, Jürgen. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Protect us. It's a joke, Jürgen.
To decode what is appropriate speech and what is not appropriate speech. Because
who puts them in charge?
Bill C-36, if I say anything disparagingly against Trudeau, can I get arrested? Can I not be charged with a hate crime?
Well, that's where they're going with this. That's where they're going with this. They're going to silence.
Where they're going with it.
Of course. They're going to silence any criticism of government. They'll make it illegal to criticize your government. The same thing they're trying to do in Australia right now. Same thing. Exact same thing.
Barry, I would bet you if you polled 100 Canadians right now, 90% of them would not know what Bill C-36 is.
Or the implications of what it means to our society. Or the implications
of what it is.
Exactly.
Right. Well, because it was, 4 years ago when they didn't know what M-103 was. You think they're going to know C-10 or C-36, any of these bills that these buggers are trying to pass in the middle of the night?
Yeah, and how many have they pushed through here, and where are they going in the very near future, Jürgen? And all of a sudden, people will wake up, and there'll be guards on the streets and police on the streets, and all of a sudden, draconian changes will come in at light speed, and people are going, what's going on here? What's happening? But you know, that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I just can't, you know, we're almost like a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which is like they had in South Africa, you know, a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Who determines what's the truth? I mean, it's just so the concept of having a panel to determine what is right and who determines what is hate. It's like going into your brain and saying you're not allowed to love or hate this particular person, but you're allowed to love or hate that particular person. It's just insanity. Right.
Well, I
just
had
a measurement of that.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to have Vinny Eastwood in for an hour, and I talked to him for a few minutes today. Jürgen, he says, Barry, you just wouldn't believe how bad it's getting here. It is just unbelievable. But he says the good thing is, New Zealanders are getting mad in mass, and they are starting to show up in the millions now at demonstrations. If you've seen the demonstrations against the government now, they're overwhelming the police forces. That is where we have to go with this right now, folks. We've got to stand up in their faces and tell them we're just not going to take this, that you people work for us. We don't work for you. Unfortunately, that exists in our society, and we've got to change that, man. We've got to make people realize that we have the power, not them. We got it, Jürgen, because, boy, I'll tell you what's coming. It terrifies me. It really does. It terrifies me for my grandchildren and my children. They just haven't got a clue what's happening right now, of course. We do. So we're responsible right now. We were put here, I guess, for this particular time in history for a reason. Some days I ask myself why I'm living in this particular time. Why couldn't I be a cowboy in the Wild West and just have a ranch and horses, you know?
We say that all the time.
Simple life, but I'm right here, right in the middle of it. We know, so we can't be quiet. We know they're coming after us in the very near future. We know that. We're convinced of that. They'll silence us all, no matter what we're saying, no matter who it is. Small voices, big voices, they're going to come after all of us. And then who's going to be standing up for the people? Nobody. People will bend over, and that'll be the end of society. So we can't let that happen. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to be positive and hope that enough people listening to this message even today will get inspired to get involved in stopping this madness, because that's what it's going to take. There's no time to sit down anymore. We have to get involved in any way possible, folks. Any way possible, you have to get involved. Even if it's really sitting down, if you're convinced that what we're talking about today is real and this is a real possibility for the very near future, that you have to sit down at your table with your children and your friends and relatives and have heart-to-heart conversations about this. There's nothing more important in our lives right now, Jürgen, than stopping this stuff, period.
Well,
at least I can't
see it. You know, people right now, if they can't see what the heck is going on, then they really are blind, especially what's going on in Arizona with the whole ballot thing. You know, we see it from the leftist crusade. They want to stop free, fair, and honest elections in the guise of protecting election integrity. It's such a joke.
It is a joke.
It's such a joke. If they really wanted fair elections, why would they not campaign for fair elections with forced voter ID, honest to goodness, veritable voter registration, and in-person voting? Why do they keep pushing mail-in ballots, and you can vote after the election, you can vote before the election 30 days, you don't have to prove anything? It's nonsensical. And anyone with a brain, if they can't see that, then we're in really big trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah,
it's right there for everyone to see.
Well, wait a second. You got Joe Biden now in charge. When he talks, it's just like fluid intellectual conversation coming out of that man's mouth. It just astounds me at the levels of intelligence I hear coming out of his mouth, man. What a joke. If it wasn't a joke, I would be laughing, but it's a joke. So I got
to
laugh.
It has to be a joke.
Yeah, it can't be real.
Yeah.
No. It can't.
It can't be real. You're absolutely right. It can't
be. The good news is that he's going to have to step down because his mental abilities now are just beyond questionable. And we get to put up with Carmella. Yahoo! Here comes the troops. Her and Nancy. Boy, I'll tell you, there's the team we'll be dealing with in the near future. You think things are bad now, man? Holy smokes. Nancy and Carmella together running the United States of America? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, oh, boy.
You know.
And you people that hated Trump, you guys that hated Trump, boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hate him or love him, I'd take him anytime over what's going on. I mean, we all know that a man in his position has made deals at some point in his life. But, boy, what's happening in the United States of America right now is sad. What's happening at their border right now is sad. What's happening to Southern Town? What's happening right across the United States of America where they're flying these people in and taking them in by the busloads and dropping them in communities? The amount of COVID that's coming across the border, unbelievable. A lot of them are going to head for Canada. You know that, Jurgen. Because they know that Justin Trudeau just waiting there with the door wide open. When they get here, it is like the land of milk and honey. So you don't think a lot of these people that are crossing into the United States of America aren't going to head for Canada? You got your head in the sand. Because that's exactly where they're going to head. Our systems and what we offer immigrants blows the United States right out of the water. So where do you think they're going to go, folks? Here they come.
They seem to have found a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude, haven't they?
It seems like that. It's almost a hypnosis. Almost.
It is. They produced a dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire society so that people actually are going to be happy to have their liberties taken away from them. They're going to enjoy it because they'll be so distracted from any desire to rebel by the propaganda or the brainwashing.
Well, of course, you know, and the guaranteed income that they're talking about, right. Implementing that. It is all part and parcel of that. And yet people go, oh, wow, is that ever a great idea? I mean, I am guaranteed this every month, no matter what I do. Well, isn't that, but they don't get it. They just don't get it. Tyrion, you get it. I get it. Most people that understand what this government's doing, they get it. But the general population are just licking this up, man. Go ahead.
I got my last 30-day ban on Facebook for putting up this breaking news. Dr. Tess Laurie wrote to the UK Medicine and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency after evaluating the yellow card data. The nature and variety of ADRs reporting to the yellow card system are consistent with the potential pathologies described in this paper and supported by other recent scientific papers on vaccine-induced harms, which are medicated through the vaccine spike protein. An immediate halt to the vaccination program is required, whilst a full and independent safety analysis is required.
You're getting the same call right now, Jurgen, from 45 to 47,000 doctors right now in the Great Barrington Declaration that are screaming at the top of their lungs that this has to come to a stop immediately, that what we're doing is insanity. There's no justification for it, that it's very, very evil, nefarious people that are behind this, that what's going to happen to society in the next couple of years because of these programs, it's all playing to what they want to do with us here. And it's sad to see it happening. We have to put a stop to it. I still believe that we will reach enough people that will put a stop to it. Whether they've created the perfect biological weapon right now, one doctor I was listening to is telling us that this thing will be very, very easily transmitted from person to person, from a person that's vaccinated to a person that's not vaccinated. That terrifies me. If they've created that kind of biological weapon, that I can actually attain this vaccine simply by possibly shaking hands with somebody that's been vaccinated, that's a terrifying thought. That's something I've been looking into. It's insanity. It really is that they've unrolled this out on society in the last couple of years, and we'll never be the same, Jurgen, ever, unless we put a stop to this now. We only got a couple minutes left, buddy. I'm going to have to leave it in off the hour. It always feels really quick when I get into a conversation with you. But I'm going to let you have a couple minutes here to share your last thoughts where people can find you. It's always great having you in, Jurgen, because you really stimulate a good conversation, and I enjoy talking with you, my friend.
Well, likewise, Barry. It's been many years we've had these conversations, and I really enjoy it. You know, the fact... people should need to look at this. The fact that in the United States that the Department of Justice is threatening to investigate the audits, but not the reason for the audits, tells you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why would anyone object to a forensic audit of an election? And why is Canada not at the forefront right now of trying to figure out what Americans dabbled in our last election? Because for sure, we did not have a fair election in this country. But there's not a single effort to investigate Dominion machines in Canada or the fact that I believe we had a fraudulent election, and we probably had fraudulent elections for the last 30, 40 years.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Dominion voting machines were based in Toronto and they've left Toronto.
Yeah.
What does that tell you, folks?
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that they would, that they would argue with these auditors, that the mainstream media would paint these auditors as being paid for by Trump and all this kind of stuff, when we know that these people have been vetted beyond belief. How they're vetted, 1,500 people or so. I think it was over 2,000 maybe that worked at that Arizona audit. They were all completely vetted, under camera, under scrutiny. Every ballot was under scrutiny. And the mainstream media, all they can do is poo-poo the whole idea. Now, if people can't figure that one out, then we are lost. I mean, that really, right there, Barry, that tells everybody what's going on.
Absolutely. We know it was the biggest theft ever perpetrated on the American people. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it needs to be exposed if we're ever going to go forward as a free society. We can't allow that to stand. Whether you love Trump or hate him, he legally won that election by a landslide. And it was taken away from the American people. We can't allow that to stand. Hey, Jurgen, like I said, buddy, it's always great to have you in. And I'll knock on your door here in the very near future and ask you to join me again, because like I said, I really enjoy conversations with you, my friend. Thanks for what you're doing. And write some more songs, man. That was great.
Will do. All right. Thanks a lot for having me, Barry. All the best to you and everybody and your family, your grandkids. Enjoy your grandkids as much as you can, because I plan on doing the same.
Okay, buddy. God bless you. Thanks for coming in.
Likewise. Ciao for now.
Okay, guys. Well, you know what? That's a wrap. I've enjoyed conversation today immensely. I think we brought some good points forward. I know we reiterate on a lot of things we say, and sometimes we'll hit it three or four times during the course of the show. But I think there's things that we talk about that are really important that we need to reiterate on to make you realize maybe just how much trouble we are in as a society and how we can stop it, how we must stop this. I love my children. I know you love your children. I know you love the people around you. I know you love the perceived freedoms that we've had in our lifetime. Well, they're all going to get taken away from us. If that doesn't terrify you, I don't know what to say. So my prayer this week is that we all get involved in some way, some form, to stop this madness before it swallows us up and destroys what we really cherish in life. Thanks for joining me, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Got some great people already lined up for next week, so I look forward to the show. You guys all have a great week, and bye for now. And, of course, I want to say thanks to Steve for producing my show. I almost forgot, Steve. Thanks, buddy, because I'd be lost without you. Okay, folks, have a great week, and bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.